Mark Carmen, Adam Hogue.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
This is The Bean.
Good afternoon. Indeed it is. Welcome in. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. The Ohio State Buckeyes won the game. I feel like I need a shower. How do you feel, Harry Tynowitz?
I always feel like you need a shower.
That's true. You always point out that I'm just a dirty guy and don't have great hygiene. That's not nice, by the way.
No, you have wonderful hygiene. You can't help it. You just always need a shower. I think it's because you play the Turkey Bowl so hard.
Well, we'll get to that. I had an unbelievable moment in the Turkey Bowl. About an hour from now, we're going to discuss it. Dwight Clark of the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes.
Remember that?
The catch.
Joe Montana, the catch.
Uh-huh.
Well, this was, I think, the catch part two, but it didn't
have... Seriously.
Well...
You're going to put your Turkey Bowl play at Dwight Clark level.
I mean, it wasn't as nationally known, and it wasn't in...
I don't know about that, Mark. A lot of people talking about it.
Thank you, Harry. I mean, it wasn't the NFC Championship game. It wasn't Cowboys 49ers, but it was Turkey Bowl 2016 will forever be remembered.
Yeah, just the only Turkey Bowl played this weekend. How'd you like to have Michigan plus 6.5 today?
Oof. Oof. I guess that's a win.
Oh, yeah.
That is a victory. You felt really comfortable for a while. Curtis Samuel, that is the man who ran in the game winner in double overtime. He'll forever go down in Ohio State lore as the victor. I don't know. He's a hero. Curtis Samuel's a hero.
See what you did there? Ohio State is the victor.
Did I say that?
Yes. Hail to the victor.
Hail to the victor.
Ohio State tried their hardest to lose this game, but they just couldn't lose it.
Okay, there's a million scenarios that are now out there with Ohio State winning. Penn State's playing Michigan State right now. We'll keep you up to date. Michigan State's winning 6-0. It's very early. If Michigan State somehow stuns Penn State, that means Ohio State would play in the Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin. I kind of wonder if Ohio State doesn't want to play that game because the Badgers are the Badgers. Watch out for, watch out for Bucky, huh?
Oh, Bucky will beat you.
Right.
Bucky will beat you. But I mean, if Ohio State is looking a duck, I mean, their best argument is to go win the Big Ten championship game. If Penn State beats Michigan State today, then I think whoever wins the Big Ten championship game, Wisconsin or Penn State, deserves to be in the Final Four.
Over Ohio State or with Ohio State?
They would deserve to go over Ohio State because they are the winner of the Big Ten.
Right,
they are Big Ten champions. They won the Big Ten championship game. So even though the Buckeyes are ranked number two in the nation, if Penn State or Wisconsin wins the Big Ten championship game, then they deserve to go ahead of the Buckeyes.
Well, and Penn State has a clear argument. We played Ohio State.
And
we
beat them.
We beat Ohio State.
Right.
So despite the fact that you can program in all your numbers into your fancy little number machine, we beat them. We won the Big Ten. There's no way that Ohio State should be in the Final Four over us. I think that's a very logical, clear argument.
Now, but I think that if Penn State or Wisconsin gets invited, that Ohio State should also go. I see Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Wisconsin or Penn State. And again, if Michigan State wins, if Sparty beats Penn State today, then you might not have an argument. Then Ohio State and the fourth seed is open. But Washington's season is not as impressive as Wisconsin's or Penn State. But what a thrilling game today. I mean, the game lived up to the game.
Yeah, it did. And we have to take quick time out, get news in here. But coming on back here, 312-981-7200. How do you even watch Ohio State, Michigan if you're a normal person? Like, I feel like any normal human being can't stand the Buckeyes and can't stand the Wolverines. Yeah, like, that to me is the default setting. I don't like Ohio State. I don't like Michigan. I want them both to lose.
They're too arrogant for you?
Right. Too arrogant, too successful, in some cases too stupid. I'll use that word.
Well, Harbaugh's got Chicago Bear tags.
I wasn't talking about Jim Harbaugh. That's not nice.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, that's a reason to cheer for Michigan.
Oh, okay.
It's a reason for wanting Michigan to do well.
Yeah, I don't root for Jim Harbaugh. I think he's a great football coach and was a hardcore great Bear. But I can't get myself to root for Jim Harbaugh.
I don't know if he was a great Bear.
Well, he was. He
has Bears ties.
He played very hard when he was
here.
He
did play hard.
He took Mike Ditka yelled at him and he took it.
And that's why he's a great coach.
Well, sure. That's the reason right there.
That's why.
Okay, quick timeout. Harry bought tea. He's going to go get it. We're going to give you the news. And then I just like to hear people's reactions to a little Ohio State and Michigan. And then there's another huge football game that's kicking off at 4 o'clock today.
Yes, it's a high school game.
It's a high school game. We're going to have to talk about that. Plainfield should not be playing in that game at 4 o'clock today. 720 WGN. Is this Let's Dance?
It is Let's Dance.
It's a rogue version of Let's Dance?
It is a rogue version of Let's Dance.
Yeah, it's like a Sean Puff Daddy P. Diddy Combs sample of Let's Dance.
I did a parody song to Let's Dance.
Do you listen to P. Diddy at the Harry Tynewitz household?
Not usually listening to P. Diddy, I'm not anti-Diddy.
Would you go more Beethoven or more Diddy?
Oh, more Diddy.
More Diddy over Beethoven. Yes, what about a Bach concerto?
Do you know that Bach was born in the same year as Handel?
Is who?
As Handel, not the great composer.
Ah, I did not know that.
Yes.
Did you play the piano back in the day, Harry?
No, we had a game called, it was like Go Fish, it was called The Great Composers, and we loved it. And you'd sit there and you'd say, do you have the Tannhauser by Rossini? And then someone would say, no, go compose. And we thought this was like a really fun version of Go Fish. And then one day, one of my friends, Jerry Nevin, says, hey, you know, this is an educational game. Like, Mom, you didn't tell us this was an educational game.
Well, when you say go compose, does that mean go to the piano and play something?
No, it means go fish.
Oh.
Schubert's Unfinished Symphony in C.
So you were like creative 4-year-old.
Yes. My parody to Let's Dance, by the way.
Yeah.
Gymnast.
All right, we took a left turn. Sorry. No, I did it. It's my fault. By the way, I love left turns, and it's great to be with you today, Harry.
Speaking of left turns,
my name is Mark Carmen. This is the Beat. The Northwestern Wildcats beat Illinois. You heard it earlier on the station. The Wildcats are going bowling. Hopefully, they go somewhere warm. And Ohio State beat Michigan 30-27. I say that not because, with a lack of enthusiasm, not because I'm a Michigan fan, not because of any other reason than I just don't want either of those two schools to win when they play. And I think it's just very difficult, this game, for most of us.
Well, there's an arrogance. By the way, I hope Northwestern goes somewhere cold, and Dave Ennett mentioned it on the broadcast. But
you want him to go to New York?
Yeah, Yankee Stadium. How awesome would that be?
Little pinstripe ball?
Yes, the Cats at Yankee Stadium. Okay, when on Sunday Night Football, I love it when the players introduce themselves. Let's check out the Packers offense. Let's check out the Redskins defense.
I enjoy that too.
It bugs me when they don't promote their college, because the college gave them a scholarship that they earned, but they should plug the college. Anyhow, what do you always hear when a Buckeye player says?
The.
That's arrogance. That is the most arrogant school. You know, Notre Damers, Golden Domers, they might, take the cake for arrogance. But the Ohio State University?
It's hard, though, to say that Ohio State is more arrogant than Michigan. Like, that's a tough battle. Have you ever hung out with people that went to Michigan?
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I love them. I got to tell you, Michigan alums, there are more living Michigan alums in the world than any place, any other school.
That can't be true.
Of course it's true.
Why would that be true?
Because of the number of people that went there, I guess.
That would be the factual reason why it's true. Okay. Maybe it's just my experience of the people that I grew up with that went to Michigan that somehow just crawled inside. Maybe it was my experience visiting there as a freshman at the University of Iowa and asking people at Michigan, so do you like your school? Oh my God, it's the best. It's just, this is the best place in the whole wide world. I mean, the people are so diverse. I mean, they just come from all over. And, it's just, it's such a good school. I mean, it's really, really good school. And we're so good at football and basketball too. Back then it was, the Fab Five. I couldn't take it, Harry. I couldn't take it. I've never gotten over it. Maybe this is about me. This could be about me. Michigan. Ann Arbor.
To me, that's not arrogance. That's that, especially if it's coming from the students themselves. That's just being proud of your school.
Sure, you could look at it like that, but I took it as arrogance.
My wife would agree with you, by the way. My wife went to Michigan State, graduated from State, and she will come in on Saturday, and the first thing she'll ask, she won't ask me how are the Spartans doing. She'll say, how's Michigan doing? Because she wants them to be losing.
Michigan State, by the way, beating Penn State right now, 6-3, 8-23 to go in the second quarter. That would be a stunner.
It's the worst season that Sparty has had in football in a quarter century. And Penn State going for their eighth straight win today. That'd be something.
312-981-7200, deep discussion. Who's more arrogant, Michigan or Ohio State?
I think the Ohio State University makes them more arrogant. And also Woody Hayes. This is good to say, if you remember the great Bo Schembechler and the great Woody Hayes made the comment. And there's a wonderful HBO documentary that they roll out every time, every year just before this game is played. And in it, Woody Hayes says he hates Michigan so much that he would rather run out of gas and push the car than spend money for a Michigan businessman.
See, now that's over the top, but that's some good hate. I appreciate good hate. I love a good rivalry that's got tremendous hatred, like Bulls Pistons back in the day.
Oh, that was it, man. And that was it. I mean, that Jordan was, rules.
That was real hate.
Isaiah Thomas, way to walk off the court.
Michigan, Ohio State, real hate.
Yes.
Cubs, Cardinals used to be real hate, but now we're just so much better that it's just not even interesting.
That's awesome.
Doesn't that feel good?
Say that again.
I mean, that it's just silly. I mean, you had this whole thing, but now the Cubs have won the World Series more recently. And every year that you play the Cardinals, it's just like taking candy from a baby. And it's not going to change for years to come, even if they take Dexter Fowler away from us.
I was going to say, what if 24 goes to St. Louis? Yeah, Moe?
That's not going to happen.
I mean, last year the Cubs got Lackey. The Cubs got Hayward.
Right.
I heard the Arch was trying to make a deal to move to Chicago.
That's the thing, too. I mean, we take Cardinals from you, and they don't even perform, and we still win the World Series. Now, granted, he had a great meeting.
Yeah, the pep talk.
Yeah, the pep talk.
And Lackey brings a certain element of toughness and confidence, especially during the playoffs.
And great teeth.
He has teeth. He's got lots of them.
He's got an outstanding set of...
Yes.
Are those real?
If John Lackey married Linda Cohn...
Yes.
Think of the teeth that kid would have.
I mean, Lackey's a powerhouse. I don't know how we just got side-turned again. Let me just say this, because when we were watching Ohio State and Michigan, of course... We also had Northwestern and Illinois on,
yes.
And we were listening to the great Dave Bennett and Ted and Adam. And Dave reports that they put the Ohio State-Michigan game on the board at Ryan Field while it's not like there was a rain delay. It's not like there was a player injured. I guess it was during a timeout, but it was a, you know, just... I mean, Dave said on the broadcast that he had never seen that before in his life.
I've never seen it anywhere. During the game, I've seen you know, every stadium does it before the game. You'll get a big game
sure.
coming on, and if there's a rain delay, they'll go to another game. Now, like Tampa Bay, I was lucky enough to get to Raymond James Stadium for a Bears victory, and they have these big TVs like that surround the stadium, so you could turn your back to the field and you could check out a game, but. To put another game on the scoreboard?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that like to keep people in their seats that want to, you know, that you know, because, you know, social media, everybody's got an iPhone. They hear, oh, it's tied. Let's go. So, I mean, do you put the game on to keep fans there?
I guess. I mean, I don't see like from that standpoint, though, they've already spent their money. It's the fourth quarter. Northwestern was up 42-21. Game's over. It's not like... You're trying to suck, hey, please just buy one more hot dog.
No, they wouldn't be doing it for that reason, no.
I mean, they're just trying to service their fans. You guys, I know, are interested in this. You're Big Ten football fans, so we're going to show you Ohio State and Michigan. It's close, and you're probably interested. But, I mean, that's kind of like to the players.
It's, you know, Northwestern started out the season 0-2. They had, you know, that opening day they could have beaten Western Michigan. Who knew Western Michigan was going to be so good? But the game was right there for the Cats to win. This was a you know, not the greatest victory ever, but it was a big victory today because now NU goes bowling and they deserve it. And what a comeback season for Northwestern from where they started. Maybe they just wanted to keep as many fans in the joint as possible.
I guess. And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm not going to This is not a huge issue. I'm not gonna lose.
I think it's cool. Thumbs up for doing it.
Oh, you give him a thumbs up.
Yeah, I give him a thumbs up for doing it.
Interesting. I'm not going thumbs up or thumbs down. I'm just in the middle.
If you're at your house and you love Northwestern and you know NU is playing and they've got it well in hand by 21 points, you might flip to Ohio State, Michigan.
Well, that's basically what we did today.
Right.
We did have the double screen going on up there, so we were able to take in both. We were living the dream.
How many Bears games this season have you flipped?
None. I just sit there with Hamp and OB and Kaz, and we just stare at the
screen. Oh, yeah, that's true.
And drool.
You're in an unusual situation. You're in a wonderful situation.
I am, but it's also, you know, sometimes you do want to kind of look away, but that's not allowed.
It's like a car crash. You can't help but stare.
Right, right. Hey, it's 312-981-7200. That is the phone number here at 720 WGN. There's a game that's kicking off in about 13 minutes from now that shouldn't be kicking off. So we're going to do that coming back here, Kerry. Are you comfortable? Can you handle this?
Yes. I love it that you're just so on one side, no matter how wrong you are.
Oh, wow. I'm most definitely not wrong on this one. I have been wrong before. Very rare. Can't really think of it.
Uh-huh.
But I'll grant that it's happened. But in this case, I'm just not. Okay, we're doing that coming back. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynewood. Say, Harry, I got a big question for you.
Yes? The answer is Springfield.
When you think of dairy, does the egg that you had for breakfast fall under dairy?
I would never have guessed that question was coming.
I know you wouldn't have. I'll go out of left field out of nowhere.
No, I would say the egg doesn't fall under dairy.
Even though it comes from the chicken?
Yeah. The ice cream, I'm sure it is dairy, but I think if we were playing the pyramid,
yeah,
and the answer, the category was things that are dairy, I would say to you, if you were a celebrity, if you were Andre Agassi, I would say ice cream, cheese, milk.
Right. Eggs. They're all in the same section.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say eggs. I don't think of eggs as dairy. But
what do you think of eggs as?
Eggs aren't just for breakfast. Eggs are for Halloween. When someone gives you like a...
So do you look at eggs like it's protein, like it's chicken? I mean, what do you put it under?
I usually put eggs under ketchup. Scrambled eggs go under ketchup. Like sunny side up eggs would go on top of toast.
I used to do a little jelly with my egg if we're going that way.
You're crazy that way.
No, it's so delicious. A nice little strawberry in the corner.
Oh. I like eggs, Benedict.
Hey, Joe, I had this a deep argument about this recently, and I maintain that an egg is actually dairy. But I guess technically it's protein. But like, you know how the milk comes from the cow, right?
Yes, it does. Okay, well, milk comes from 7-Eleven.
That too. But the egg comes from the chicken.
Yes.
So, but it's just... You somehow, there's got to be... I mean, everything you eat, butter, this, that, the egg is just so intertwined. You with me?
Would you say the egg is the wheel of food?
Yes. I don't know what that means, but I would say that. Hey, Joe, you want to defend Northwestern or just give facts about Northwestern? Welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Joe. I just wanted to let you know the Northwestern's been showing other games during timeout for, I think, last 2 years since I got the big scoreboard put up. I think Dave Venn is just too busy working.
Well, and Dave is very focused on his job. This is true. But let me ask you something, Joe. Do you go to a lot of Wildcat games?
Yeah, I'm a season ticket holder.
Okay, now, do they normally play a game like Ohio State and Michigan while Northwestern is going on? Did that happen today?
No. It's never during the game itself. But if they go a timeout, they go to commercial or you know, injury timeout or something, so you just got a minute or so, you're sitting there, they'll flash the game up there and you can see the score, and they generally pick out the game that they think's pretty interesting, that you want, you know, instead of you looking at your scoreboard or people looking at the phone trying to see what the score is, they flash it up there and you can, you know, kind of see what's going on.
I think that's cool.
So, just for clarity's sake, the game today, Ohio State and Michigan, never was on while Northwestern was playing.
I don't think so, because it was up there, but not during the playtime.
Okay.
I think it was during a timeout, And the only catch is it's up there on the corner of the screen. You're trying to see how much time is left or something like that, because, you know, when it's up on the screen, the small writing in the corner with the scoreboard is not huge. But no, I don't think so. I don't think it's ever been on. Any other game's ever been on during the play.
So like today, when the game is a nail-biter with Michigan and Ohio State, and NU is blowing out the Illini, and they turn the Buckeyes and the Wolverines off, do all the fans go, aw?
No. If you felt that strongly, you would have gotten in your car in the third quarter and gone to a bar.
Hey, Joe, you're a diehard Northwestern guy?
Yeah.
How would you classify this season? Was it a success, a disappointment? Where would you go?
Kind of disappointment. What I come down to is, at the end of the season, if they're going to a bowl, do I feel strongly enough about it to go? I've gone to a couple bowl games, but like last year, I just said, you know, I'm not feeling it. They're not that good, and they're going to get creamed, and it's not going to be a fun trip. And I'm kind of leaning that way again this year.
I would say...
But you can't say that last year wasn't a successful season. They won 10 games and played on New Year's Day.
They did. But you know what? They just didn't seem to me to be a really strong team that I was optimistic that when they went to a New Year's Day bowl game, they were going to be in it. And that's how it kind of shaped up. I wasn't shocked at the outcome of that game.
I would say you're forgetting where they were before, but 95.
But Joe's got to...
No, I was there during the dark days. I remember exactly where they were. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm as a fan, I'm delighted they're relevant. I'm delighted that when I go to a game, that I never think they don't have a chance. But did I think they could have done better this year? Yeah, I know. Did they leave a couple games, you know, here and there that they should have won? Yeah, I think so.
They would say the same thing. Are you a season ticket holder for basketball too, Joe?
I'm not, because I live too far out of Evanston that once a week or once every couple weeks I can drive down, but it takes me an hour and a half to get down there.
Where do you come from, Joe? I want to know everything about your life.
Well, his name is
Crystal
Dave.
Crystal Lake, Illinois.
Did you go to Northwestern?
Yeah.
Okay.
During the dark ages, I graduated in 80.
So your favorite Wildcat coach of all time is?
Yeah, it's got to be Fitz.
Okay.
Other than that, then. Only because of what he did later in life. Denny Green was pretty funny, but they are who they are.
That's who I was trying to get to, because I Joe, appreciate the phone call. I'll
sure.
Call you later in the week we'll go to lunch. Thank you.
Take care.
All right.
Start looking online for restaurants in Crystal Lake.
It's just very rare that you get a hardcore passionate Cat fan on the line. Like, that dude was legit.
Yeah, but how are you not satisfied with last year? Last year was great.
Well, I get his point, though, because, listen, when they've gone to bowl games in the past,
yes,
even going all the way back to the Rose Bowl, like that game, I went into it thinking they can win this game. They should win this game. If they hadn't turned the ball over however mm-hmm. many times they did, they would have won that game. Last year's game going up against Tennessee, and I was fortunate enough to be down there, it did not feel like they had much of a shot.
No, Tennessee had... More team speed.
Yeah,
everywhere you went. But playing double digit wins, playing a New Year's Day bowl
right.
game is
agreed.
Incredible season.
Agreed. And even this year, as disappointing as it is to be on the final day of the year chasing 6-6, they started 0-2. They lost to Western Michigan. They lost to the Redbirds of Illinois State.
The Illinois State loss is
and Western
severe.
Michigan had a good year.
Right. Western Michigan is
top 20 team.
Right. And the coach is going to be
Purdue.
You know, one of the most sought after coaches. Right.
Apparently, PJ Fleck is going to Purdue. That's a good hire for the Boilers.
It's a great hire.
Right.
Midwestern roots.
Yeah.
Great hire.
If you were Illinois, would you rather have PJ Fleck or Lovey?
I'd rather have PJ Fleck.
Right. Time out. We'll get to that high school football game and the travesty that it is coming back here. 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
I'm Mark Carvin. He's Harry Tynowitz with you till 7. Penn State 10, Michigan State 9.
Ooh.
21 seconds before the end of the half. We'll keep you up to date all afternoon long. Michigan State has the football, second and goal. So at the bare minimum, they should have the lead at the half. So very competitive game in Happy Valley.
Yes, pretty exciting. Pretty exciting day for college football, and congrats again to the Cats.
Congrats again to Northwestern, who is bowl eligible after a disappointing start to the season, came back with impressive wins on the road, namely against my Iowa Hawkeyes, who blasted Nebraska yesterday. How about that? So, and Mish, if you're just joining us and you were under a rock today, Ohio State beat Michigan 30-27. So the Wolverines will not play in the Big Ten championship game. They would, I would assume, be out of the Final Four. There could be no doubt about that, right?
I would say that the Wolverines are out.
Yeah. I mean, you lost to Iowa. You lost to Ohio State. You are out.
And I perceive a scenario where there's two Big Ten teams, where you could have Penn State win today, win the Big Ten championship, or Wisconsin win today, win the Big Ten championship, and Ohio State and them and the winner of that game goes.
Right. That's possible, too. We'll see. This will be discussed ad nauseum for about a month. That's what goes on in the talk radio of sports world. So let's talk this high school game, Harry. Plainfield is underway in a matter of moments, if they're not already, with East St. Louis in the state 7A state title game. And I think everybody knows the story by now, but just to quickly recap it, Fenwick played Plainfield to go downstate. Fenwick had a 10-7 lead. There was 4 seconds to go. They dropped back to pass. They threw the ball sky high to kill the clock. The officials called intentional grounding, which was the right call. There was no one in the vicinity, but the officials did not know the rule that you cannot add on another down after time expired. The officials did do that. They awarded the ball to Plainfield, who kicked a field goal, tied the game, went on to overtime, and after Fenwick scored to make it 17-10, Plainfield goes down, scores, goes for two, wins the game, and they go to state. And it was in court on Wednesday, and the court chose to not overturn the ruling, where the officials admitted afterwards, "I'm sorry, we did not know the rules." And so the game, if it was called correctly, not just like one little call in the middle of the game, but the game should have been over. And I got to do an overnight show earlier this week, and I gave my opinion, but let me give it again. Tim Kaine, who's the head coach of Plainfield, I thought he had an incredible opportunity to say, you know what, winning is important, but my integrity, my school's integrity, is even greater than that. And as painful as it is to actually turn down an opportunity to go to state, we know that we don't belong there because the game was over. And we're not going to take a victory that way. Now, that would have been close to unprecedented, but stuff has happened like that. And so I get that he didn't do that. If I had to bet what he would have done, I would have said he did what he did, which is not say anything, lay in the weeds, and then let it go to the court, which is not going to overturn. Yeah, we're going downstate. I thought it spoke to the lie, cheat, steal, win, whatever at all costs attitude that we have in life, whatever you can get away with. I'm not saying it's that bad. I'm not saying he lied or cheated or stole, but hey, if you can get away with it, take those steroids or whatever else, then that's, well, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. College football.
Oh, I'll
stop talking now.
I'm fascinated that Hillary Clinton's choice for VP is also the head coach there at Plainfield.
Oof.
I didn't realize that. You know what?
It is spelled differently.
In a movie, that would be the cool ending. For the coach to say, you know what? We didn't deserve it. We got an untimed down. It was wrong. This victory belongs to Fenwick. And if I were a Fenwick fan, I'm like, come on, Coach Kaine, do the right thing. But he coaches his team to win at all costs, and I think the judge made the right move. The refs blew the game. Fenwick got screwed. But Fenwick did not get screwed by the judge. The game should not be decided in court. The game should be decided on the football field.
Correct. I agree. It should never have been to court. And I just don't get how the game's over or whatever. The moment happens where there's he's calling for an extra down. How do you not, at that very moment, pause, call up whatever supervising official, IHSA board member, whatever goes on, and let's have this conversation, and let's make sure we get this right? But even after the fact, when you know that you absolutely got it wrong, that that down should not have occurred and the game was over, call a press conference, bring out Bobby Narang of the Chicago Tribune, who I used to work with at the DeKalb Daily Chronicle, and whoever else, and say we are not going downstate under these circumstances. The Fenwick kids deserve it.
Well,
and we had a great season, by the way.
I think that the problem isn't with the coach Plainfield. Plainfield coach got his kids a victory, and by hook or by crook, they won the race, they won the game, and they deserve, you know, to move on because they, on the football field that day, they won the game. They scored a touchdown in overtime. They went for two. Fenwick got screwed, okay? I don't know anybody that went. I know people that live in Plainfield. I don't know anybody that went to Plainfield. I know Vandy and his dad, Vandy the Elder, and they are big Fenwick Friar fans, and I feel horrible for them. They got screwed. But the referees blew the game on Saturday. That's when the game was played. So you can't say that, you know, the coach should have done it. Would have been cool if he did, but he didn't. I have no problem with the coach saying, of Plainfield, you know, saying, hey, I don't need to be in court. We did nothing wrong. Sometimes you get the calls, sometimes you don't get them. And I didn't see the whole game. Maybe there was a call in the game that helped, you know, that helped Fenwick earlier, that shouldn't have gone to Fenwick. But we live in a world where if you're watching baseball, they go to New York. If you're watching hockey, they go to Toronto. We live in a world where they get blown calls that were wrong, correct. So far, that doesn't happen in high school football.
312-981-7200 if you'd like to chime in on this. 312-981-7200. Harry, if you were the head coach of Plainfield, what would you have done?
I don't know. I'd like to think that I would have said, hey, we're going to do the right thing here, but probably no. Probably I would have thought of my players. I would have thought of my seniors. I would have thought of the parents of the kids. I would have thought of the student body, the people that hired me, and I would have gone and played for the championship.
Okay, how about this? Let's say you're the head coach of Plainfield, Tim Kaine / Harry Tynowitz. And in your gut, it sounds like you know what the right thing to do is here.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? Would it be possible to call a meeting with your team? Hey, guys, this is how I feel. And I know that generally this is a dictatorship, but right now we're going to make it a democracy. And I want to know, we're going to seal the votes. No one's going to know who voted for what. But we're going to have, my position is that you guys have been phenomenal. You've been the best team that I've ever coached because the school had never gone this far before. And I thank you for the best season that I've ever had. But I don't think we deserve this. However, if you guys feel like you want to go downstate under these circumstances, I will coach you down there.
Or with
the principal.
That's a one-sided argument. If you make that speech before the vote, that's going to affect the outcome of the vote.
Okay. I'm okay with it.
If you're going to call a meeting, here's what you do. You call a meeting and you say, guys, we're going to take a vote here to see if everybody's okay, you know, with going downstate. And that's all you say. And then kids can vote yes or no.
I mean, I prefer that he stood up there and said, listen, I know this is going to be painful what I'm about to say, but this is what's right and this is what we're going to do. There is more to life than winning a game.
Not when you're 16. Not when you're 15 or 17. That's all there is. There's going to the state championship and there's, taking the hot chick to prom. There is no doing the right thing.
Why not?
Because you live in a world where you work out all the time. You don't, you eat differently than you would normally eat. You spend less time doing the stuff that you would enjoy doing that most high school kids are doing because you're that committed to winning on the football field. You know, if you ask these guys 10 years from now, 20 years from now, maybe they'll say, hey, you know, we should have never gone.
I'm giving more credit to kids than you're willing to then. Because I think that a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old could make the same decision and understand it. I certainly think a high school kid is able to understand that, oh, yes, we don't deserve this. I mean, come on.
If you're in Vegas and you hit on the roulette wheel.
Yeah.
And they give you back like, $1,000 more. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how this would happen because there's, you know, pit bosses and stuff like that. But if you were, you know, in Vegas where usually Vegas wins, the house wins. And they gave you back extra money. Would you say, hey, you know, you made a mistake, you gave me extra money? Or would you pocket the chips?
Well, I'll give you an example of that coming on back here.
Okay.
And we'll get to your calls. 312-981-7200. People want to chime in on this. We're happy to take them. That's straight ahead, 720 WGN. Wrapping up that Christmas road trip, or the circus trip, excuse me. Last one ever. Can you believe that, Harry?
It's great. I commend the Hawks and the Bulls for getting rid of the circus coming to town and the teams going on these 2-week trips. It's awesome.
I get it's better for the Hawks and the Bulls, but I enjoyed the circus at the United Center. I went as a kid. It's borderline emotional for me that the circus will not be doing the UC
Overrated.
Anymore. Yeah, but...
Overrated.
Connection to childhood. Can't get away from it. And I know that it's wrong, that the whole circus animal thing, wrong. Glad they let the elephants go.
I know all about childhood memories and how great they are. That's why I'll always love a racetrack.
I got pulled, you know, I won the, somehow, some way, we got pulled out of the crowd to go in the circus, and it could only be one of us.
Lion tamer?
It was me and, yeah, right, it was me and my cousin, good old Miriam, and they said we could only take one, and so my dad's solution was to flip a coin. They flipped the coin, I won. She started bawling, crying, they took both of us.
Aww.
Isn't that adorable?
Aww.
Let's get back to Fenwick and Plainfield, although I could talk circus all day.
Yeah, Plainfield coach should have flipped a coin, I guess.
Well... I'm getting texts here. One person thinks that because it was the referee's fault, they should have replayed the game, which would have been generally impossible to do. But I kind of like the concept.
I love the concept. Great Robin Williams movie.
Like, hey, this ain't right. We're going to replay it from the start. I'm sure both teams would have signed up for that.
You could have done it with a championship game when it was the last game of the year. But the winner would have to have played during, they would have had to play the game like Wednesday
right.
or Thursday. And then you got to be ready for another game today.
If you're just joining us, Plainfield is on the field right now taking on East St. Louis. Fenwick should be playing in the game. And we're asking the question, should Plainfield have stepped up, their head coach, their AD, someone, and said, you know what, this ain't right, even though we did go on and win in overtime, there should never have been an overtime. This was wrong. So we're talking to you right now, 312-981-7200. Tony, in Plainfield, or no, not in Plainfield, you just want to say Plainfield's in a difficult decision. What's up, Tony? Go ahead.
Hi. You know, full disclosure, I'm a Fenwick alum. My kids went there. I played ball. I was on the board for 9 years, still tied into the school. And I got to think, if it was the other way around, if Fenwick didn't have that discussion of conceding the game, I think a lot of people would be upset because some of the pillars of that school are integrity and ethics. And, I know I have a predisposition to be in favor of Fenwick, and I was at most of the game. I had to take off early. But I think that Plainfield North is, they're in an untenable position. You know, they're going to, if they lose the game, it'll say, you know, people say, oh, well, they got what was coming. If they win, those kids are always going to have, even if it's not in the books, there'll be an asterisk in their minds. And I think, you know, one of you guys said about, you know, I don't know if 16 or 17-year-olds can make that decision. You know, I think kids can. You know, the kids are, they're educated at that point. They know the difference between right and wrong. And I think there was an opportunity there, and I think it was blown.
Tony, I'm with you 100%.
Tony, I appreciate your full disclosure. You know, it's a tough position either way. It's, you know, what I would say is it the kids didn't bribe the officials. The officials blew the call. The officials screwed up. The officials didn't know what they were doing, and they made a major mistake. I don't think the kids have to apologize to anyone. I would hope that somebody had a conversation. They don't have to come out and alert the media, but I would hope that somebody at Plainfield had that discussion.
It wouldn't be an apology, though. It'd be leadership. Here, we'll do this. We'll continue with this conversation right after news in 2 minutes. 720 WGN. Good afternoon. 434. I'm Mark Carman. He's Harry Tynowitz. This is The Beat with you till 7 o'clock tonight. Clayton Thorson of your Northwestern Wildcats. Anthony Walker Jr. of your Northwestern Wildcats. Your bowl-going Northwestern Wildcats, if you will, coming up right after 5 o'clock on this very radio station. We're talking Plainfield and Fenwick and East St. Louis and morality, Harry, right now.
Well, you know, I am usually pro-morality, but I don't think you can call Plainfield out because they didn't do the ending of a movie here and say, no, Fenwick, you deserve to go. You won the game. We got someone who is on your text line here from the 773, and they're saying that arbitrary is not a word that people like to use, that the rule sucks, and that they should change the rule.
See, I like to believe that people have the ability to use common sense, to think, to not, say, live in a world where everything is black and white, that there's actually a lot of gray out there. There is the letter of the law. There is the spirit of the law. All that going on. So in this particular case, there's a ton of gray. Although, it's also very black and white to me. The game was over. The referees made a mistake. Are you going to take that? The answer to me in a perfect world, in my utopian world that I like to live in, where people do the right thing, even if it doesn't benefit themselves, which I know is very hard for everybody, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, they shouldn't have gone and played the game.
If it happened in the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
Okay, if a team won the Super Bowl because of a bad call by an NFL ref, and now the NFL has, you know, the greatest technology going, so that wouldn't happen. They would go look at the replay and someone would say, oh, no, you got the call wrong, you know, or you don't know the rule, you messed up on the interpretation of the rule. But if it happened in the Super Bowl, the team that won isn't going to go, you know what, you guys deserved it. If it was the fourth game of the season and a team lost that way, they're not going to say, hey, you know what, we didn't deserve this. Fenwick got screwed, but Fenwick lost the game because of the refs, and therefore Plainfield deserved to go.
Let me give you an example, and then we'll get to your calls. 312-981-7200. Here's an example, one of my favorites from DeKalb, Illinois, where I used to do radio, 1360 WLBK. Thank you for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. DeKalb's home of the Huskies.
Correct.
I mean the women, not the mascot.
That's rough. You know, I did public address for Northern Illinois, Harry. One of the strongest performances in public address here in history.
Football, hoops.
Started out with your volleyball, your baseball, but then got the football gig. I almost had an opportunity to do play-by-play because I would do DeKalb and Sycamore High School. I had it. It was what's his name? One of the great play-by-plays is Shake and Bake Baker.
Sure, Shake and Bake Baker.
I should. That's terrible. He's been around forever, but he was off for a game, and they said he called me up. He said, "Carm, you want to do the game on Saturday?" I said, "Absolutely. This is amazing. This is my big break. I'm going to do play by play college football." And then it was swiped away from me by Mike Corsick, longtime SID, who I love. If he's listening, and he said, "You know what? We've got this guy that he's." His name's Jeff Joniak, and he's going to come down here, and he's going to do the game, and he's going to get the Bears gig. That's basic. I got bonged for Joniak. I could have been the Bears announcer, Harry.
Joniak's not a bad choice. Not like he got bumped by somebody who was the dean's daughter or the dean's neighbor.
That's another rough angle. Yes, Jeff probably actually deserved to do the game. Anyway, the point being here, 2009, DeKalb basketball game. All right, they're playing Milwaukee Madison. Senior, Jontel Franklin. The game was on February the 7th. All right, his mom passed away early in the day. All right, Jontel Franklin was not expected to be at the game that night. So he was not written into the scorebook because, you know, he lost his mother and they didn't think he was going to be there. Well, Jontel wanted to be with his teammates. So he came to the game. And then in the second quarter, his coach put him in the game. Well, DeKalb, since he wasn't in the scorebook, had an opportunity where, or was told, well, this guy's not in the scorebook. That's a technical. Here's two free throws. What does DeKalb do?
That's okay. We don't need to give him the free throws.
They missed the free throws on purpose.
That's very cool.
I mean, that's the type of world that I want to live in, Harry. That's the utopia that I'm looking for.
That's way different. That's way different than what we're talking about, though.
There's
you know what that's like? That's like the...
It's not that different. It's different, but they...
There was a women's college basketball player that needed to score a basket, and she was... I don't remember the details of the story. She had been handicapped, or she was sick. I'm trying to remember what it was. But the coaches talked ahead of time, and the coach said, we're just going to let her get a layup right away. So she gets her 2 points, and then you let us get a layup, and the game goes on from there, and we're still tied. It's like we're starting anew, but this way your player gets the score. That's what that's like. What happened here is that didn't decide the game.
I understand. I understand. I'm trying to take it to the next level.
Right.
And I think we... There is another look. David Haw had a great piece on this earlier in the week in the Tribune, and there was a wrestling situation where they redid the score and they gave up a state title because it was miscalculation. This has happened. People have done what's right.
I understand. I love me a David Haw, and Carol and Mike Brady would tell the Brady kids, hey guys, do the right thing here.
We're gonna honor the Bradys later in the show.
But I have no problem with Plainfield playing in the game tonight.
312-981-7200. Let's let it hit close to home. Jim, you've been waiting quite a while, as is everybody else, but you're up because you got the Cubbies on the screen. Go ahead, Jim. What do you got?
Mark. You know as well as I do that if it had come down to one run in the bottom of the ninth inning, the seventh game in the World Series, and the Cubs lost on a controversial call that they didn't overturn by replay, Terry Francona and Cleveland would not be giving that trophy back.
Whether he would or
no way in hell.
Jim, whether he would or wouldn't is irrelevant. If it's the same situation, I'm not talking about like a pitch that's just off the plate that's called a strike. I mean, what's the scenario?
Well, let's just say it was a play at the plate that a runner got underneath, like the one with Baez scoring from third base.
Safe.
If that had been the game-winning run, and it was on the Cleveland side, and it was a controversial call, clearly he scored.
Wait, would Jim
called him out?
Jim, I love where you're going, but I think you reverse it in order to get to Mark's true emotions here. What if it had been the Cubs and Joe Maddon said, we didn't deserve to win? This would never happen because the Cubs are the greatest team ever in the history of baseball.
Good point, Harry.
What if the Cubs had gotten a run in the top of the ninth that the guy was out at the plate and the umps called him safe and they didn't overturn it? Mark, if Joe Maddon had gone out and said, hey, you know what? We really didn't deserve to score that run. Let's keep playing. And the Cubs went on to lose.
There you go.
There's a couple differences, number one. Number high school and setting example for young kids, that is definitely a factor in this particular scenario. You are teaching. Professional, it's a little more dog-eat-dog in the way I'm looking at it. Second of all,
wouldn't the professionals, though, be setting the example for the kids?
Sure, in an ideal world, but it's not... To me, it's a little bit more important on the high school level to when you're teaching, when you're a coach, but you're also a teacher. That to me is different. The other side of this, go ahead, Jim. Go ahead. Let it out.
But I understand what you're saying, but is this not the same teaching moment? The kids lost on a bad call, and it was completely the human element. And I agree with you what you said before about calling somebody from the IHSA and say, hey, what do we do? That
right.
would have been the correct thing to do at the time.
Yeah, no question. But it didn't happen. So then, what?
Right. But to teach these kids that, hey, we lost the game, let's go sue in court. and maybe the court will overturn it. What's that teaching them?
I agree with you there. I agree with you, Jim. I don't think Fenwick should have gone to court. I think that should have been a conversation between the Fenwick head coach and the Plainfield head coach. And if they can't come to an agreement and Plainfield's going to take it, I don't think you go to court. I agree with that. And we appreciate the phone call. We got a ton of people, so move along. Yeah, thank you, brother. Yeah. But I had one other thing that just slipped my mind that I wanted to get in there, Harry. It'll come back to me. Who do you want next? You get to choose.
I get to choose?
You get to choose.
I'm going to say let's go to Tom.
Let's go to Tom. Tom, welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Great show. Great conversation. I want to point one thing out. What did they know, and when did they know it? In other words, when the ref made the call that it was intentional grounding, Fenwick coach should have known what the rule was.
Agreed.
He didn't. He continued to play as if they were correct. So therefore, too bad. You know, I feel for the Fenwick guys. I'm a Catholic League guy myself. But that's life's a tough lesson to learn. I put a lot of the blame at the coach. He should have known different. He's a professional, and he should have known the rules. A lot of people know that a game does not end on a defensive foul.
But
it does end on an offensive foul.
Good stuff, Tom. Appreciate the phone call. And I agree with you there, too. Gene Nudo, who was the head coach of Fenwick, absolutely should have known the rule and should have taken his team off the field and forfeited on the spot and were walking off.
Yeah, and so, guys, maybe you don't have this rule right now, but on intentional grounding, they don't get an untimed down. You're wrong to give him the down, so I'm taking my team off the field.
And my understanding of what happened with the officials, too, there was five officials, and I got to give credit to former WGN guy Cap, who apparently was in the conversation somehow. I don't know how he was on the field. But what I understand of what happened there, four of the officials said that there's another down. One had it correct and knew that the game was over, but they overruled. You know, he was outvoted, supposedly. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I was told. Or that's what the old Cappy was told.
I'm telling you, they finally have gone, after watching the Twins-Yankees playoff game like 5 years ago or 6 years ago where the Twins got screwed, Major League Baseball finally has, you know, more instant replay. It's still not done. It's still not perfect. They still need to get more instant replay in Major League Baseball. But we live in a world now where the four sports can, you know, a bad call can be changed. And it doesn't happen yet in high school. They should have found a way to change this call.
And that was my other point. Why do we have replay? To get it right. Okay, well, that's the reason why we have it. You could have gotten this right. That's why they was brought in. And these guys could have done that. Let me get one more in real quick here, Dan Long, and then we'll get to the break. Keith, what's going on?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I've been a referee and a coach, and when you get caught up in the play, it happens so quick, and these decisions are made. But as a high school coach, you're there to teach morals and principle. And you're not a professional. You're not getting paid to do this. But in my opinion, the coaches, he should have let Fenwick play. Life's about morals and principle, and mistakes happen. And that poor ref and them, they're out doing it. You're right, the kids suffer, but I think they would have got more out of it, teaching morals and principle, and letting turn over the title to Fenwick.
Keith, let's go to lunch. I'm in. Appreciate you.
Have a nice holiday, everyone.
You as well. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. Look at my guy, Keith. Looking for more, Harry.
I don't think that... Look, if it were a movie, that's what you do. You make the impassioned speech that we're doing the right thing. Fenwick deserved to go.
Why can't life be a movie? Why can't we just live the dream and have it be Bull Durham?
If your life was a movie, what movie would you want it to be? If your life were a movie?
I'd take Nuke LaLoosh, Bull Durham. I think that's a decent role.
Rose goes in the front, big guy.
That's right. 720 WGN. Have our Wildcat insider, top of the hour, Clayton Thorson, Northwestern quarterback, Anthony Walker Jr., superstar linebacker will both be with us to start the 5 o'clock hour. And if you missed it today, the Cats bombed out Illinois. It was 21-0, and then it was 21-14, and I was getting nervous, and then they closed it out 42-21. Michigan lost to Ohio State 30-27, and at last look, Harry, did you see
Penn State was winning 17-12.
17-12 in the third quarter, the Nittany Lions trying to make it to the Big Ten championship game to play Wisconsin. Michigan State has been very competitive all day long. They've led, really, for most of it. But 17-12, third quarter.
Yeah, and Notre Dame, Brian Kelly's last game. USC is whomping them 24-7.
It ain't going to be his last game. Bring that guy back.
Really?
I think so. Reading the tea leaves lately, that's what it seems like, which is kind of incredible. Charlie Strong's not being brought back Texas. Looks like Tom Herman of Houston is going to move over. The whole college football thing is a little much for me at times, Harry. The old fire the coach mid-season.
Well, coaches get certain liberties players don't get.
Right, right, right.
Student-athletes don't get.
Right. Can't transfer mid-year, that whole deal. Okay, let's wrap up the Fenwick conversation. Just a couple people have been waiting very patiently, including Joe, who is a former ref and is talking about how players remember these games for years. Go ahead, Joe. Welcome to WGN.
Yeah, thank you. As I'm sitting here thinking, I'm just thinking, it's the refs. You said one ref knew the right call out of five?
That's what I heard, yeah.
What does that say about the refs? Like, don't they know the rules? Like, they have to take a test every year. I mean, they get paid. They're IHSA-patched officials. They should know the rules. At least you would think that more than one out of five, because obviously they discussed it. But which... the fact that that's just amazed me that only one ref knew the correct call. That just shows me that we need some younger refs out there. All these refs these days are so old. Look at Joey Crawford. How long has he been doing? Eventually, we need some new young refs out there that are going to know the new changes and the new rules in the game.
Wait, but hold on a second, Joe. It says here that you're a former ref. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. I mean,
I'm a former IHSA referee.
Okay. How much did you make per game, if I may ask?
I mean, I was doing basketball, but it was $100 a game.
Okay, so they're making $100 a game. I mean, this is not exactly a professional thing. It's more of a side hobby. They just love to be out there. There's a lot of rules, right? I mean, I can see how the mistake would happen is my point.
Yeah, I could see it too, but, I mean, one ref out of five, this they've been doing this for how many years now? I mean, it's a hobby too. We all knew the rules. I mean, they should too. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm glad that they're down there today and they're playing, and I hope they win.
Okay, so you – okay. All right, so if you're
– I've been at many, and this
Thanks,
is not
–
Joe, there are – I don't want to generalize here, but I've been to many high school football games where people in the stands are like, how could you make that call? This gets all the attention because it decided who went to the state championship game. But, there are it's just like anything else. There are great lawyers and there are bad lawyers. There are great – officials and there are not so great officials.
Well, but it's not an in the moment call. It's the play has stopped. Just know the rules,
especially if you discuss it.
Right. So I mean, but I get it. Like, there's nobody that's going to argue that the ref shouldn't have known the rules. Of course, the ref should have known the rules, but they didn't. So now, what do you do? And my contention is that Plainfield shouldn't have gone and played the game. Okay, last one, Mike. Go ahead, real quick.
Guys, you guys can't have to stop talking about what ifs. Like, you can't compare this to a guy being safe or whether a guy caught the ball. That's all judgment. This was a blatant disregard for a rule that is written in a rule book that should the coaches have known? Yeah, they probably should have, okay? But if you're a referee, you're required to know the rule, okay? And for them to blatantly disregard it, and in all the chaos, I heard it took 10 or 15 minutes before it was settled. Well, I'm sure that if they didn't have a rule book on them, someone, especially if there was somebody that opposed what the other four were doing, you go online to IHSA rules.
Right, right, right.
Rule,
right, Mike.
Implement it.
Right, we all agree on that, Mike.
How can you guys be talking in what ifs? Like, well, if Chris Bryant slides and they call him out.
There was a listener called with that scenario.
You can't even consider those. It's apples and oranges.
Okay, but
ignoring a rule is a blatant disregard for a.
Yeah, but did you just fall off? He did. That's too bad. Oh, well. Mike just, we lost the cell. Okay. But the point is that, again, everybody agrees with that.
Right.
But what do you do after the mistake is made? Sometimes mistakes happen. Shouldn't have happened. Did happen. What do you do?
I wonder if these officials, lose out. I would hope none of them are working tonight or yesterday.
I'm sure they're not.
And I wonder how this would affect them next season.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sympathetic to the officials on some level. Yes, they should have known the rules. And yes, they should not be working this weekend. But should like if someone said, they should never work again. No, just relax.
Right, right. And you know, in general, I applaud the refs. These guys go out in the freezing cold and they're officiating games when it's Saturday and they work all week in another job. But I'm just saying, I've seen a lot of times when the fans in the stands are going, again, they blew the call.
Right, well. And if you're one of those fans, by the way, and you're screaming at officials at a high school game, you got to check yourself. Relax. Walk out of the arena.
Words. Words are one thing.
Okay, fine. You're allowed to yell a little bit, but when you get personal at a high school game, it's a little bit much. Let's just leave it there. Be a good parent. Support your kid. Don't yell at the referees. A message from At the Carm. 720 WGN.
Wildcats of Northwestern, Evanston, Illinois.
It's time for Wildcat Insider. On the home of Chicago's Big Ten team, 720 WGN.
720 WGN, indeed. He's Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Carmen. The Northwestern Wildcats are going bowling as they beat the Fighting Illini 42-21, Colonel Mustard's last stand for everybody.
I love the chili dogs.
I went double cheese and a hot dog yesterday. It was a terrible, terrible, delicious moment in my life. I always feel guilty, and then I always feel just so satisfied all at the same time. Here's a guy who probably never eats the double cheese and the hot dog. Clayton Thorson, what do you get at a Mustard's last stand after a Wildcat victory?
I'll get some hot dogs with some mustard on it, for sure. No ketchup.
That's solid. That's solid. Not true Chicagoan, but at least you're not going with the ketchup look. Hey, so how does it feel? You're bowl eligible. You beat the Illini, and your sophomore season, you got one more game to play.
Yeah, it feels great. You know, we're really glad to get this win for these seniors. You know, obviously, we'd like to get a few more wins in the season, not be in this position. But, you know, we're happy to get another month with these guys who've given us so much over the past few years.
You know, Clayton, obviously you would have liked to have had more wins, but considering where you were 0-2, losing to Illinois State at home, you'd have to say that from that point on, the season went pretty well for you.
Right. Yeah, I think definitely after those two games, kind of turned it around. And, you know, we knew that's not the team we were. And we showed that the past few weeks. And so we're definitely happy about that. Just happy to get a win and go to a bowl game.
If you look at your work, Clayton, I know that guys get a little bit uncomfortable talking about themselves, but maybe we'll just do it for 1 second here. Last year, your completion percentage was 51. This year, it's 58. Last year, you threw 7 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. This year, you threw 21 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. So less interceptions and 3 times as many touchdowns. I didn't even go to Northwestern, and I can do that math. So I would think that overall, you would be pleased on how you've progressed from your freshman to sophomore year. Is that fair?
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely happy with the progression. I think I definitely can do a lot better. But I'm definitely pleased to improve each year, and now we got to improve before the bowl game.
You know, even though he didn't have a big day today, Austin Carr was as good a wide receiver as there was in the Big Ten this year. What did Austin Carr's presence on the field mean for you?
You know, it meant a lot. He's a great receiver, obviously. I'm glad the nation's seeing that. But he's a great guy, great leader. Off the field, and that's what really makes him great. But, you know, on the field, he's one of the best in the country, and it's great to see him getting all this recognition. So despite his, you know, not statistically having the greatest game today, but he had some great downfield blocks that sprung some touchdowns, and, you know, he's a complete receiver.
Clayton, you know, Harry mentioned it a second ago, but let's just kind of delve into it a little deeper. You guys were 1-3 after losing to Nebraska, You then proceed to go on the road and win at Iowa, who, by the way, beat Nebraska yesterday, and Iowa showed themselves to be a pretty good football team in the end, going to a, you know, gonna go to a good bowl. You win at Michigan State, who's given Penn State a little bit of problems, at least they were earlier today. You win at home against Indiana. You nearly beat the Buckeyes on the road. I mean, I'm sure you look at that game as something you at least could have had. What was going on in the locker room that got you guys on track? I mean, maybe it was Fitz, maybe it was you guys. I know there was some players-only meetings. What would you say?
Yeah, you know, I think, like what you said, we had some players-only meetings. And I think really in the end, I think our seniors were really key in just moving us forward and saying, hey, you know, we know this isn't us. And we know starting out 1-3, that's not what we expected, but we know adversity always comes at different teams, and I think this team really responded well to adversity this year. And so I was really proud of our guys, really proud of our offense. We responded to those first four games where we didn't play like we know we should have. And, you know, we got back to a bowl game.
And how does your preparation, you know, there's so much time from today until you'll play in the bowl game. You know, what is the biggest challenge for you? You know, you guys went to a bowl game last year. What's the biggest thing that the team has to adjust to in preparing for a bowl game as opposed for just another opponent on the schedule?
Yeah, you know, I think we got to take each, you know, obviously we have limited practice time, but we'll take those practices and really get better, not develop bad habits. Because, like you said, we got about a month until we're playing against another team, but now we get to go against our number one defense now and vice versa. And so that'll help us both out and just get better fundamentally and get ready for whoever we'll play in that bowl game.
Clayton, you helped me out this week on my pregame piece, which was on offensive lineman Connor Mahoney, and he talked about how – you know, our opportunity is to go to a bowl game and become the first class in Northwestern history to win two bowl games as they go back to winning the Gator Bowl on New Year's Day. So for you, you could be the first class if you win this year and then your junior year and then your senior year, you could set yourself up to beat Connor. That's my vision for you. Three straight and you went all 4 years. What do you think?
That's a great idea. I think that's the goal. That's what we should have. But yeah, got to get the first one to get the third one. So we'll take that from there.
It's like the Cubs are going for the three-peat. You got to start with one, but I'm just,
right.
You know, I'm seeing the future.
I like the way you tie everything into the Cubs.
It's a sickness, Harry.
Yeah. So, Clayton, you know, Northwestern has changed so much from when I was growing up, and I live in Evanston, and I love the fact that, you know, when the season starts, people talk about, hey, you know, Northwestern could contend, Northwestern could get to the Big Ten championship game. For the high school kid out there, you know, you were a star at Wheaton North and you decided on NU, what would you say to a high school kid that was debating about coming to Northwestern University to play football?
Yeah, you know, I would say, look at all the success that the guys from around the Chicagoland have had at Northwestern. You see with Dan Vitale last year and Justin and so many other guys who are from around here who come here because they know they'll get a world-class education, but they'll play against, you know, the Big Ten, arguably the best conference in the country. And, you know, a team like Northwestern, you know, like us, obviously, we're doing well, and we're knocking on the door to go knock down some of those teams that are historically at the top of the Big Ten, and we just got to push through. So I would say to those recruits, you know, come join us because it's going to be a fun ride these next few years, and you don't want to miss out.
Clayton, congratulations. We look forward to seeing you in the bowl game, and you made Dave Ennett very, very proud today. He's thrilled to be able to call one more game this year.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's our pleasure. Clayton Thorson, Northwestern quarterback. Anthony Walker Jr., coming right back here, Harry Tynewitz.
He's number one.
He is number one. Number one in your heart, number one in the program, and one of the best defensive players in all of college football. So that's next as our Wildcat Insider continues. 720 WGN.
Third down and eight for the Illini at the Northwestern 25-yard line. Illinois on third down today, just 2 of 8. On a draw, they give to Corbin, tries to bounce it out, and Corbin thrown down behind the line by Anthony Walker Jr. for a loss back to the 34-yard line. Walker with a tackle for a loss. It is fourth and long.
.720 WGN, that was one hell of a football play. is Anthony Walker Jr., the tackle for loss. Which one am I going to, Dan? 7 or 8? I assume I'm going to 8. I'm going to 8. Anthony Walker Jr. is on 2 lines somehow because he's just that amazing of a football talent.
He's all over the field. He's all over the phone bank.
Exactly. I mean, I've never seen that happen in the history of radio, but Anthony Walker Jr. is pulling it off. What's up there, Walk? How are you?
How you doing? How you guys doing? I'm glad to be here.
Look at you going to a bowl game, being in the Illini, huh?
Definitely, man. Always good to get the hat and, you know, beat your rivalry in Illinois. So, you know, I definitely get those seniors to a bowl game. So, you know, it's just all smiles in the locker room right now.
Yeah, and when you say the hat, of course, you're talking about the Land of Lincoln Trophy, which goes to the winner of the Northwestern Illinois game. I assume most of our listeners know that. What does it mean, to, you know, from where you were, starting 0-2, losing to Illinois State 9-7, what does it mean to you to come back and now this team is going to a bowl game?
You know, we could have easily tanked it at the beginning of the season, starting 0-2. Easily gave up and, you know, just started preparing for next year. But, you know, we didn't want to leave the seniors out like that. We wanted to help them get to a bowl game in their last year. And we knew we had the playmakers all over the field. We just had to go out and do it. And, you know, it wasn't going to be easy, but I think this team bonded together, fought together, and we were able to, you know, keep pushing forward. And, you know, we set ourselves up in a good position to win a bowl game.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe after you guys lost the Illinois State game, which was obviously a brutal, brutal pill to swallow, you're coming out the field, and I think your head was down, which is normal, right? And Dr. Jim Phillips, your outstanding athletic director, sees you, and he kind of just tells you, hey, keep your head up. We need leadership. We need positivity. You guys are going to go forward. Can you recount that moment in time?
Oh, definitely. You know, always having Jim Phillips there on the sideline and before and after games is always, you know, something that I look forward to, you know. Always has positive words, no matter, you know, what the score is or how we're doing, always has positive words for us. So, you know, definitely after that game, I was a little disappointed, you know, mostly in myself, you know, that I felt like I let the team down, you know, not being able to make enough plays for us to win. And, you know, I definitely didn't want to, you know, start the season off that way. So, you know, just, you know, my head was down, and I think he came to me and, yeah, definitely was like, you know, we're going to need your leadership and all that stuff. You know, you're going to have to help these guys turn it around. And, you know, definitely to hear those words from him really, you know, got my mind out of it. And I was able to, you know, snap out of it really quick. But, you know, the natural reaction is, you know, put your head down after a loss. But, you know, as a captain of the team and as a leader, you know, I have to be able to be positive and, you know, just rebound. And I have to be the first one ready to get move past that. So, you know, having Jim Phillips there is always great.
Anthony Walker Jr., the star linebacker, the Wildcats with Mark Carman and Harry Tanowitz on the beat on WGN Radio 720. While we're on the subject of leaders on the sideline, I've heard quarterbacks talk what it means to play for a head coach that was also a quarterback. What does it mean for you as a linebacker to play for Coach Fitz, who himself was the best linebacker in the country when he played?
Definitely. You know, always getting the, you know, the little tips and hints, you know, from your head coach is always great. I look to, you know, I get to play from Coach Hank, but I'm always looking at Coach Fitz to see what he sees. And, you know, he's always giving me little signals that, you know, this play may be coming or something like that. So, you know, definitely just have your head coach actually out there, who actually out there was playing the game, you know, at your position is always great to have.
Fitz is so intense, and Coach Hank is so chill. Like, I just want to go fishing with Coach Hank and just chill in the canoe and just go all day. How does that work together?
You would think Coach Hank is a little chill, but, you know, we don't see him that way. You know, he's always upbeat with us and up-tempo and very intense, too. So you can ask Gawain Igwebuke about that one. He loves Coach Hank, but he definitely knows that Coach Hank is very intense, and, you know, especially with the DB. So, you know, I think, you know, for the most part, they work very well together. You know, Coach Fitz is, you know, Coach Fitz mostly has to calm Coach Hank down most of the time. If you can picture that. I know you can't really imagine that, but Coach Fitz is usually the one calming Coach Hank down.
Wow. Would have guessed the opposite.
I mean, Coach Hank just reminds me of some of my, like one of my camp counselors who was the most relaxed dude ever.
I would think it would be your
relaxed, but he can get it. He can get very intense.
I would think your teachers, Mark, would be upset with you. So, Anthony, will your professors now, will they treat you differently since you're bowl bound than if you had lost this game?
Not at all, man. I think you know, we have a great staff here. As far as, you know, educators helping us get our degree. You know, I think for the most part, I think our professors do a great job and, you know, help leading us and getting us this great degree. They don't treat us any different than, you know, a regular student, so which is one thing that I always loved and admired here. You know, not giving us the easy way out, you know, just make us earn everything just like, you know, you make the regular students earn them. And, you know, we have those relationships with those professors who, you know, love football and all that. But at the end of the day, we're students first, and they treat us like that.
Right. At Northwestern, despite the fact the football team's going to a bowl game, it's the theater kids that get treated
specially. Right, right. You're in the business school, right, Anthony, but it's not really a business school?
I'm in the School of Education and Social Policy, so
okay.
Not really the business school, but my major is kind of business-oriented.
I see. So you're, like, super. Would you consider yourself, when you look around the room, you're like, I'm the best guy in this locker room, not only on the field, but also in the classroom? I mean, just puff out a little chest every now and then.
Not at all. You know, I love being around my teammates. I love those guys, you know. You know, you can't say who's the best. You know, you have Godwin, Igwe Buke, Justin Jackson, Clayton Thornton, and all those guys. And Mr. Biletnikoff, you know, Austin Carr. Well, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I love being around these group of guys. I told my dad. You know, he asked me a couple of days ago, you know, what's the biggest thing, you know, that you love about, you know, what's the most interesting thing about Northwestern? I just like the people, you know, ever since I, you know, when I first came and committed, you know, it was because of the people. And, you know, the reason I love it here so much is because of the people. So, you know, I love all my teammates, my coaches, and everybody around. So it's just a great atmosphere.
What time did your alarm clock go off this morning?
I set a 2:30 alarm, and then my regular alarm woke me up at 6:30.
Who was in your room at 2:30 and screaming at you? Because
Nate Hall.
Nate.
But I woke up like right before.
Yeah.
So he was okay. He didn't hear it.
Oh, okay.
I woke up right before, and then I cut it off. I set it for 6:30, so he was fine.
For people that don't know, Anthony likes to set the alarm in the middle of the night just so he can celebrate the fact that he can go back to sleep. That's his strategy, which is a weird strategy, but that's your strategy.
I love that. I would also go back to sleep, though, after the 6:30 alarm. Anthony, Dave Annett, who, of course, is the voice of Northwestern sports here on WGN Radio, was pontificating that maybe Northwestern would go to the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. You're a Miami guy. Do you care where you go? Do you want to go play somewhere in Florida so you get a lot of friends and family? Or would something like playing in Yankee Stadium appeal to you?
I mean, it's funny. You know, I've never been to New York before. My dad has always been a Yankee fan. So I guess that'll be good for him. I don't really mind where we play at. I'm just happy that we were able to get to a postseason bowl game. And, you know, I'll take wherever we end up. And, you know, just happy to be playing for another month, man. I love these guys, man. I just, you know, definitely want to, you know, keep sending these seniors out the right way with a bowl win. I don't really care where we go, where we end up. But it would be cool to play in Yankee Stadium. You know, that would be really big. And, you know, spending holidays in New York wouldn't be too bad either.
Anthony Walker Jr., number one in your program, number one in your heart. Appreciate you, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate you. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, Anthony Walker Jr., love that guy.
He's
That's a winner. That's a good man. That's a positive dude. That's a guy you want on your football team.
He is all over the field. Two more tackles today for a loss.
There we go. All right, quick timeout. Coming on back here, Harry. There was a moment at the White House this week that just felt so good all over. We have to bring it back.
Okay, I assume this doesn't involve Trump then.
Correct. That's absolutely right. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz with you till 7. This is The Beat. Hey, Harry, did you get a Presidential Medal of Freedom this week?
I did not.
You deserved one for something.
Right. The closest I came was I watched the movie Dave again on cable, starring Kevin Kline.
Okay. I don't think that's that close, but it's worth mentioning for sure.
Right, but there was quite the array of talent. I saw that, you know, Tom Hanks, Vin Scully, The Boss, Bruce Springsteen.
Ellen DeGeneres, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, yeah, and MJ.
And, yes, there we get to home base now. Michael Jeffrey Jordan. So, this is an opportunity for you to perhaps win something. We'll get to that in a second. Because I thought that President Barack Obama summed up MJ in a way that I had never heard anyone talk about Michael, and I just thought it was just so brilliant and so right. So let's play that. This was, if you missed it earlier in the week, the president and Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
When he was 5 years old, Michael Jordan nearly cut off his big toe with an axe. Back then, his handles needed a little work. But think, if things had gone differently, Air Jordans might never have taken flight. I mean, you don't want to buy a shoe with, like, one toe missing. We may never have seen him switch hands in midair against the Lakers, or drop 63 in the Garden, or gut it out in the flu game, or hit the shot three different times over Georgetown, over Elo, over Russell. We might not have seen him take on Larry Bird in horse, or lift up the sport globally along with the Dream Team. Yet MJ is still more than those moments, more than just the best player on the two greatest teams of all time, the Dream Team and the 1996 Chicago Bulls.
91, first team, but that's okay.
He's more than just a logo, more than just an internet meme. It's more than just a charitable donor or a business owner committed to diversity. There is a reason you call somebody the Michael Jordan of. Michael Jordan of neurosurgery, or the Michael Jordan of rabbis, or the Michael Jordan of outrigger canoeing. They know what you're talking about. Because Michael Jordan is the Michael Jordan of greatness. He is the definition of somebody so good at what they do that everybody recognizes him.
That's what I'm talking about. Because that, do you do that? He is the Michael Jordan of.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I mean, I just didn't know that the most powerful person in the land for however many more months he's got to go here understood that concept. That, like, if Barack Obama was going down as the greatest president of all time, he'd be the Michael Jordan of presidents.
Yeah, I think Barack Obama might know, he might know more about the NBA than he does about other presidential things. That's what a big, and I'm not a shot at him as president. It's talking about how big a basketball guy he is.
He had some deep knowledge there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, first thing he did was took out the bowling alley in the White House and put in a basketball court.
Oh, that's a brilliant move. I love that move. Now, he did get the Bulls' best team was their first championship team, which went 15-2 in the playoffs, and Michael was 5 years younger than 95-96. But I'm not here to quibble with the president,
right?
Even though he's wrong about that.
Game two against the Lakers, Phil put Scotty on Magic, and the rest is history.
Right, right. Only lost one game to the Sixers. That playoff team down 24 points, came all the way back, forced overtime, lost by two, and then the in-and-out game one against the Lakers. That's neither here nor there, though. Here's where we'd like to give you a little Lou Malnati's. Harry, what are you the Michael Jordan of?
I would say, probably not a lot, but I would say if you pressed me on it, I might be the Michael Jordan of jersey number recall. Whether it is a guy who plays currently, you know, or a guy that played 35 years ago, for whatever reason, I am great at remembering what number a guy was.
I completely, you are the Michael Jordan of jersey recall.
And we just brought it up at the break, right?
Yeah, because we're guys texting in who knows
for
me.
For whatever reason, we were talking to Rob Kessler.
Yeah. And, well, we got a text that came in here. Hey, Carmen, did the great Jordan give another awesome speech like the one in the Hall of Fame induction? Really class act, Carmen, LOL. And then he chimes to a number six, still has more ring fingers than Mike, which I'm like, number six, that's Bill Russell, right? And then you said?
If you're talking basketball, Bill Russell was six on the Celtics, but baseball, Bill Russell on the Dodgers was 18.
See, that's what I'm talking about. So Harry's the Michael Jordan of number recall. Odd Bulls, Elston Turner.
God, Elston Turner, 40.
Ooh, I got you on that one.
42?
21.
Ah, twice as powerful as I knew.
Yeah. How about Pistol Pete Maravich?
Pistol Pete Maravich had two numbers. He wore 44 and he also wore 7.
Okay, I mean, I'm shutting up now.
Yeah,
done.
He ain't going to miss Pistol Pete. David Jennings up at news.
I'm done.
This is, I mean, I had to go obscure Elston Turner.
Really?
I could go, let's, Mike Smrek.
Mike Smrek, 52.
Yep. There you go. Thad Bosley.
Thad Bosley, 27 with the Cubs.
Mike Squires.
Mike Squires. Spanky was 25.
Right.
Last left-handed catcher.
So if you can call in right now, 312-981-7200, and tell us what you're the Michael Jordan of, and you can back it up, we'll hook you up with Lou Malnati's Pizza. What are you the Michael Jordan of? For me...
Yeah, what are you the Michael Jordan of, Mark Herman?
I am most definitely the Michael Jordan of sleeping in your car.
Sleeping in my car?
In my own car.
Oh, that's
Thank
different.
You. No, I would put myself to the test against anyone that when I need to grab a nap and my car is available, I will find a side street, I will find a parking lot, I will find somewhere, and I will be asleep quicker than anyone in the history of man. And I'll only need like a good 15, 20 minutes, and then it's like I slept 8 hours and I'm ready to go.
And you don't worry like that something's going to happen to you while you're sleeping?
When you're the Michael Jordan of sleeping in your car, nothing happens to you. And then you don't have to set an alarm because you wake back up and bam, you're ready to go. It's unbelievable. That's what, and when you're the Michael Jordan of sleeping in your car.
That's pretty cool. I might have to sleep in the car tonight, see if that helps.
312-981-7200, what are you the Michael Jordan of? See, we like to give things away, and we like to hear stories about you. We want to know who's listening and what you bring to the table.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
Taxi driver Bob wants to quiz you, Harry. Let's
see. But this isn't about me.
Well, it can be.
You really made my night. I got to hear you sing. Oh, God. All the dogs are howling around me right now.
Yeah, the dogs have Main Street howl.
Okay, let's see how good of a guy are you. Who was number 6 on the 1969 Chicago Cubs?
Let's see. Johnny Callison wore 6 when he was on the Cubs.
Yeah, you're right. Bingo. You got it.
Thanks, taxi driver.
Also, I got one other thing.
Yeah.
I am, of course, the Michael Jordan of taxi driving, as well as Robert. I'm the Robert De Niro of Chicago, of cab driving, too.
That is still, to this day, the greatest. I mean, he's awesome in Godfather. He won, he's spectacular in Godfather, too. Didn't speak a word of English, really, and he won the Oscar. But Travis Bickle. In Taxi Driver, if you've never seen the movie, you must watch Taxi Driver.
I completely agree. Highly recommend. Hey, Taxi Driver.
He also got an award at the presidential.
Oh, you're right.
I watched the whole thing. They had it on, I don't know if it was YouTube or wherever it was. It was an hour-long thing. And if you didn't watch the whole thing, you have to watch it. It was a really good hour of viewing, that's for sure. Anybody out there, check it out. Look it up online there, and you'll be able to see the full hour presentation.
Thank you.
Definitely great. Have a good one.
Thanks, taxi driver. Sorry, we're up against the break. Hey, callers, hang in there. I want to hear your talents. And by the way, I have one more that I am the Michael Jordan of. I'm going to share that coming back.
Good. I have a guess what it might be.
Okay.
The coolest thing from the Presidential Medal of Honors was the mannequin challenge. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
It's with all the people that we talked about before. It's De Niro. It's Tom Hanks. It's Springsteen. It's Ellen. It's Michael Jordan and Kareem. And, I mean, that's it. It's over.
How cool is that?
How cool is that?
How cool is that?
Ah, how cool is that?
I love that. 720 WGN. WGN. Anytime I can get MJ on the show, I'm going to do it. It's the way it is. Got to respect the greatest player to ever play anything, Harry Tynowitz.
Nothing against LeBron. LeBron is awesome. Kobe was great. Kobe's last game was better than Michael's last game. But Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player ever. Ever.
So Barack Obama in the Presidential Medal of Freedom called him He gave him the respect, but are you the Michael Jordan of, the Michael Jordan of rabbis? Would you like to nominate anybody for that?
Well, obviously, Herbert Bronstein. of North Shore Congregation in Israel.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it came out of Cincinnati, that great rabbi school, you know, so now a member of Temple Beth Israel.
Does a great adult.
It's a good program in Cincinnati up there.
Yep. It's a solid program.
He does
it's all about the Torah.
His Avinu Malkeinu is second to none.
Avinu Malkeinu. I'm singing again. I'll stop.
Don't. That was the wrong verse, too. Like, you just went, like, reform Avinu Malkeinu. Give me an old school, Old Testament Avinu Malkeinu if you're going to go Avinu Malkeinu.
You know, Woody Allen's joke? We're very reformed Jews. Our rabbi is a Nazi.
Okay, now I'm uncomfortable. Hey, what are you the Michael Jordan of? 312-981-7200. Is this true, Joe? You're the Michael Jordan of sheet metal. Is that accurate?
That's what my boss used to call us. I'm retired now.
How does that play itself out, Joe?
Well, you know what? These guys used to get some pretty sophisticated jobs. I'll give you one example: the Cheesecake Factory by the Hancock Center. Those canopies, copper canopies, there.
Yeah.
That was one of our jobs.
Okay, those are cool. For people that haven't seen them, they're like these twisting kind of metal canopies that shoot out from the side of the building.
Yeah, we worked on those almost at least 20 years ago when they first opened it. But, you know, they would get very picky architects to work for, and one time he blurted that out, and when you guys said that, it just brought it to mind.
That's awesome. Joe, I was an intern in that building way back in the day, and Harry Tynowitz was working there, and he was so nice to me. So that just brought back a whole nother memory.
I refuse to believe I was nice to an intern. That's awesome that you were the Michael Jordan of sheet metal. Whatever it was that you did, if you were the Michael Jordan of it, that's something.
I'll say, you know what, I had a lot of help. It wasn't just me. I had guys helping me and guys teaching me. So there was a lot of credit to be spread around there.
Way to give respect, Joe. Appreciate you. Thanks for calling.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Absolutely. 312-981-7200.
He should get the Presidential Sheet Medal.
He should. He absolutely should, and I think he will, because I know that Barack listens to the show, and he's probably making a note right now. Hey, Joe, what are you the Michael Jordan of?
You know, it's actually kind of funny. The Joe that you just talked to just happens to be my dad.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you make it good, because we got your sister on the next line.
Were you in the same car, or was that completely random?
No, it was completely random. Me and my sister are actually on our way back down to school right now.
What is this, the WGN family of gold? Todd Manley should be listening to this and send you something.
He should be. I don't know. It's just, I guess, luck's on our side tonight.
What are you the Michael Jordan of?
Well, we're talking about Aluminum Nalnati's, so of pizza making.
You're saying that you're better than Lou Malnati's at making pizza there, Joe? It's a bold comment.
Oh, no. I'm not as good as them, but you give me the ingredients, and I can whip up a pretty darn good pizza.
Really?
Do you toss the pizza up in the air?
Oh, from start to finish. Absolutely.
Who does that? That's awesome.
That's big time.
That's pretty damn cool. You must get a lot of ladies with that talent.
Not as many as you would think, but, you know, here and there.
Joe, congratulations. We'll put you in the queue here as one of our winners tonight. More winners to come. Thank you, buddy. We believe you. We have a vision of your pizza making.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. 312-981.
Come back to my place and I'll flip some pie.
Whoa. Maybe Joe's done that. Hey, Peter Fasano, I got an idea what you're the Michael Jordan of.
Hey, Carm, how you doing this evening? Happy belated Thanksgiving.
Back
Harry,
at you.
How are you? How are you, sir?
I'm living a lie, but I'm great.
God bless you. Well, we want to switch from pizza to pies for a minute. I am the Michael Jordan of pie making at Fasano Pie Company in Chicago.
There you are, baby. Love your pies, yep. Peter Fasano. Appreciate you.
I wish we had a couple right here, right now. That's how good they are.
What would you want in front of you?
Carm knows. All you have to do is ask.
Send it over to Eddie Olchek. Appreciate you, Peter.
Have a good evening, bud.
You as well. 312-981-7200. I love people sharing their talents. Dave, what are you the Michael Jordan of?
I am a Michael Jordan of an odd job that you probably heard of, but don't know the details on. I'm the odd Michael Jordan of doing location managing for films and commercials.
Wow.
And a lot of them had to do with Michael Jordan, as a matter of fact.
Did you ever work with MJ?
A number of times. I did Michael Jordan for Wheaties. I did Michael Jordan for Gatorade. I did Michael Jordan for Nike. A lot of commercials that you've seen of Michael Jordan, I had a hand in for helping the photographers that did the shots get their job done.
Give us a behind-the-scenes story, Dave. Tell us something that we wouldn't know. I want to hear. I'm on the edge of my seat.
The Wheaties box. We'll start with that one. The poster with Michael Jordan up over the guys on the graffiti wall in the background.
Yeah.
I did that one.
Yeah, but like
on the back of that Wheaties box is a photographer's shot that Stephen Wilkes was the photographer shot. When we were shooting it, there was a guy walking along the fence who had a little white dog, and I pointed out, I said, hey, take a look at this. Because every time Michael got next to the fence and was standing there, this little dog would look up at Michael Jordan. So we went over and got the releases on the guy, shot the thing. I was in Dominic's food store doing some grocery shopping. I saw the box with the poster on it. I said, hey, cool, I'll put it in my collection. Dropped it in the basket. It pops over. Full page on the back is Michael Jordan leaning against the fence with a little white dog looking up at him on the back of a Wheaties box.
That is spectacular. So I was a an actor first before I was ever on the radio. Location manager is tough. Tell me if I'm remembering correctly, but the movie script comes out and it says, you know, this scene takes place in a high school. This scene takes place in an Italian restaurant. This scene takes place underneath a bridge. And then you, as location manager, have to go scout wherever town you're in. You have to go scout out all these locations, correct?
It is a monster job. Location managers are the lead guy of a circus, the lead person of a circus, I should say, because there's a lot of women out there that do the same job. We're the guys that go out, we find the location, we secure the location, which means that we get the clearances all the way down the line for the location being as additionally insured. So if anybody trips over a wire, stubs their toe, it's all covered by the production company. We're the people that get the clearances through the neighborhood. We're the people that get the clearances through the powers that be of the community, that they know what's going on. We find the places where we can park the cars.
We got you, David. We're up against the break. I just want to put you on hold and have Dan Long take your number, and I'd like to have lunch with you, and I want behind the scenes what it was like hanging from with Jordan stories. Can you do that?
I sure can. Not a problem.
Thank you, my brother. All right, hang on.
You got it, baby.
See? That's what I'm talking about, Harry. I want stories.
Yeah, well, I know we're going to a break. When we come back, you got a couple of different really sweet ones.
Yeah, we got some good stuff here.
You might be the Michael Jordan of radio topics.
I wouldn't say that. That would be. But this is fun. So what, you want to continue? You want to continue? Is that what you want to do?
I know you want to talk Bulls. I know you want to talk Cutler. I know the Turkey Bowl story is coming up and the Blackhawks Kings tonight.
We got 1 hour to jam it all in. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
Final hour of the program. Wisconsin beat the Minnesota Golden Gophers 31-17. That game was irrelevant after Iowa smoked Nebraska yesterday, but congratulations to the Badgers going to play in the Big Ten title game against Penn State, who leads Michigan State 38-12 with 3:49 to go in the fourth quarter. So I think we can mark it down. You're going to see a Penn State-Wisconsin Big Ten title game, Harry Tynowitz.
Yeah, and maybe not totally irrelevant, because if Wisconsin had lost and then won the championship game, I wonder if that would have kept them out of the Final Four. But I believe...
You think they got a shot at the Final Four?
I do. I think that the winner of Wisconsin-Penn State, Big Ten champion, this year the Big Ten was spectacular. Ohio State was 2, Michigan was 3 when the day started. You know, Wisconsin 6, Penn State 7. I believe that the winner of the Wisconsin-Penn State game, the Big Ten championship, and Ohio State should be in the Final Four with Alabama, who was rolling last I saw, and also Clemson, should they beat South Carolina tonight.
Should Notre Dame be in there?
I really don't think Brian Kelly should be invited back.
4-8, they're going to fall to, as USC leading 45-21. That would be my one hope, actually, of coaches getting fired and Charlie Strong is out at Texas and you have the coaching shuffle after the season. How can Brian Kelly keep his gig? Should have lost his gig the minute he put a kid up on a scissors lift in 60-mile-an-hour wind and Declan Sullivan tragically lost his life, but yet he's still there. So he's a terrible person off the field. Or at least
he made
a terrible judgment. Let me rephrase
that.
My bad.
Right.
He made a horrendous judgment around his football team that cost a kid his life. There's no way around that. That is a true statement.
Right, and that is the worst of the things that happened under his watch. There's also the girl that was
sexually assaulted and ended up taking her own life under his watch. And by the way, they don't win football games. He's lost more. He's had more 4+ loss seasons than Tyrone Willingham, than Jerry Faust, than a whole.
They've been asked to vacate the wins from the season that they went to the national title game.
Right, right. That whole vacate wins thing is just to me is always silly. Like, does anybody even go back and if the experience happened, it happened. You can't just like go back and take it away.
Right, but theoretically, it's weird because Derrick Rose, we know that other people took his tests in Memphis.
Wow, Derrick Rose just got called into the show. I love that.
Well, I mean, because that's why they're at being asked to vacate wins.
You know, D. Rose having a pretty good season, by the way.
Yes, he has been having a good season, and he went to Carmelo's for Thanksgiving.
Wasn't that nice?
Yes.
Him, Carmelo, and D. Wade. Side note, by the way, we'll get right back to the Mike. What are you the Michael Jordan of? Dwayne Wade, I know that people are not dying for Bulls talk, but I'm just going to put it out there for just a second. Dwayne Wade has single-handedly saved the Bulls franchise, at least from complete current nauseation. He's brought Jimmy Butler into a whole nother level in his career. He's made Fred Hoiberg a moderately okay coach.
Wow.
And he's made Gar Foreman look like a halfway okay general manager. He's done all of that.
D-Wade has been spectacular. I think Fred Hoiberg is a much better coach than people give him credit for.
Really? I think he's worse.
No, I think he's better. I think given...
Are you serious?
Yeah, and you're seeing... Look what he's doing. And not only D-Wade, Rondo.
Yeah?
Don't you like the way Rondo's playing this year?
No.
You don't think Rajon Rondo is playing terrific point guard for the Bulls?
No, I think he's terrible.
Oh, I don't. I disagree. Circle gets the square. The Bulls have only 6 players on their roster from last year. That's quite a revamp job by Gar Foreman. And you know that Pax was involved. And, you know, Fred Hoiberg. I think that they all look good. And I agree. It starts with number 3, D. Wade.
My head is spinning on the Fred Hoiberg. Have they ever not panned to Fred Hoiberg and he hasn't looked clueless? Has that ever happened once?
The idea that you can tell how good a coach is by his expression, you know, I mean.
How come when they ever need a play called in the huddle, 9 times out of 10, it's Jim Boylan who's doing the play call?
Look, anytime Fred Hoiberg and Boylan and the staff talk about what plays they're going to call prior to the game. It's not like Fred Hoiberg is like surprised by the play that's getting called, and Hoiberg can overrule him anytime he wants. The Hawks do that. You know, football teams do that. Football teams, most NFL teams, the offensive coordinator's calling the plays, not the head coach, right? The defensive coordinator's calling the plays, not the head coach.
Every time they show the bench, Fred Hoiberg has hot face. He looks constipated. He does not look in
control. Oh, wow.
He doesn't look.
He doesn't look
in control, man. He doesn't.
He's a better head coach than people give him credit for.
Well, okay. If you're saying that people give him absolutely zero credit and you're giving him some a modicum of credit, then I suppose that would be accurate. I think people are being too nice to Fred Hoiberg. And nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice guy. I'd have him over for Thanksgiving dinner.
I don't know him that well.
And whenever I'm out covering Bulls games and you talk to Fred Hoiberg, he's very respectful and all. But come on.
He's not the Michael Jordan of coaches.
He's not the Michael Jordan of coaches. Hey, Pete, what are you the Michael Jordan of? Welcome to 720 WGN.
Hey, good evening, guys. I am the Michael Jordan of Navy Human Resource.
I don't mean to chuckle, but that's very cool.
How long you been in the Navy, Pete?
Well, I was in the Navy for 24 years, then I retired, and about 4 years later, when a couple commands at Great Lakes were having problems getting their stuff organized, I was called back, and I still work as a civilian at Great Lakes now.
Wow. See, that's a huge skill because people are bad at organization. I'm terrible at organization. Pete, you're a valuable guy.
It's not just that. Nobody knows how to look anything up in a book anymore. Everybody just does by computer. So yeah,
that's true.
That's where my skill is.
Mark, when was the last time you were called into an office to talk to HR?
Can't comment. It's been a little while.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know if I've ever been called in for HR other than to hear that you're fired. That was always pleasant. Happened once. One time, 610 Sports Radio, right after I got off the air, knew that I was going to be fired 2 hours into the show. Stayed in there, was professional. Can you imagine?
You're funny.
That happened. Hey, Pete, thank you for your service, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for a great show.
You got it. 312-981-7200. If you're just joining us, why are we talking about this? The Presidential Medal of Freedom earlier this week, Barack Obama giving the medal to Michael, talked about how excellence, the standard, you are the Michael Jordan of. And so I feel like everybody's got a skill where they're the Michael Jordan of, and we put it out there to you. Feel free to share, 312-981-7200.
And Mark Harmon turns out, he is the Michael Jordan of sleeping in his car.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody can go to bed in a vehicle quicker than I can if it's cold, if it's the dead of summer.
Except if there's a girl in the car with you and you're kissing her.
This is true. Good point. That's happened, I think, once, maybe twice. Mm-hmm. Perhaps in my life. 312-981-7200. You make out in cars, Harry?
Not lately.
How about back in the day?
Back in the day? Oh, Harry.
Underrated Harry. Chris, what's going on? You're the Jordan of what?
I am the Jordan of FedEx drivers.
in what terms? In terms of getting the package delivered the quickest? Or of getting there accurately?
In terms of doing the most stops in the shortest amount of time. Like, for example, the average driver does about 20 stops an hour. I can average about 30 stops an hour. Oh. And I don't use maps. I don't use directions. I know every street, every address in 5 different towns.
So not only do you know the addresses, but you know you're a side street superstar. Do you take a lot of risk with the FedEx vehicle, or are you bowling through lights? What would you say?
Well, I don't bowl through lights. That's another thing. I've gone 8 years without one traffic citation.
Wow.
In my
wow.
FedEx.
Talk about vehicle. A life. Talk about a life lesson. Takes it up to a whole new level, and he does it legally. I mean, there are kids, pay attention to Chris here. This is what you should be doing.
There's no doubt. Hey, again, how long have you been doing it, Chris?
8 years. I'm 31 now. I've been doing it since I was 23.
Wow. Just dove right in there. What's the future hold? Are you sticking with it, or are you going to make a move?
I'm planning on sticking with it as long as I can.
There you
Hopefully
go.
I can become a boss one of these days, a contractor one of these days.
I mean, I'm envisioning Tom Hanks, Castaway, on a plane, making a move. That's what I'm seeing. When I think FedEx, I think Castaway.
Definitely.
Could you survive on an island by yourself?
Yeah. Give me a case of beer and a pack of cigarettes, and I'm good to go.
Chris, hang on. We're giving you Lumels. I think you earned it. You're delivering and keeping us safe all at the same time.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Your bosses must love you. Now, Chris made me think of one of my friends who is a Michael Jordan of something. My friend Tony Kirk, who is an accountant. He's a numbers guy. He is the Michael Jordan of knowing Chicago streets starting and end points.
Wow.
If you bring up Southport or, Damon, whatever street you bring up, he can tell you where it starts address-wise and where it ends.
That's a very weird skill, but I'm sure valuable at some point in time.
At some point in time, like, you know, if your app on the phone isn't working, you know, this is a friend you can call, and I don't know anybody who does it better.
Yeah. All right. Congratulations to what was his name?
Tony Kirk.
All right, when we come back here, I think we got to give a little tribute, Harry, to the Michael Jordan of moms. So we're going to do that coming on back here.
Love it.
720 WGN. Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. Ba-dum-bam-bam. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one in curls. Ba-dum-bam-bam. It's the story of a man named Brady, who was busy with three boys of his own. They were four men, living all together, yet they were all alone. Let it roll. Till the one day when the lady met this fellow, and they knew they was much more than a hunter, that this group Brady bunch. Ba-dum, ba-bum. Ba-dum, ba-bum. I mean, it's got to be the Michael Jordan of moms, right? Florence Henderson, 82 years old, out of Dale, Indiana, born February 14th, 1934, passing away a couple days ago now. Harry, the show was on 1970 to 1974.
Flohen. Florence Henderson was everybody's TV mom. And, you know, the Brady Bunch has lived in reruns practically since it went off the air. And there are great stories, like she went on a date with Barry Williams, the actor who played Greg, but she's really, I mean, you know.
Did Mom and Greg really hook up?
I didn't say hook up.
They went on a date?
They went on a date.
What's the age difference there?
It's Hollywood, baby. Swing.
Listen, I get it. If I was Greg Brady, I'd want to go out with Flo too. There's no doubt, but come on.
Now, an older generation would give you a different TV mom. And I don't know, I'm not sure like who the TV mom is of this generation. I know that a lot of people would say Felicia Rashad would be a TV mom. Mm. You know, Claire Huxtable was a great TV mom. But Carol Brady was like, for me, the mom that you compared Friends moms to.
Barry Williams is 62. There's a 20-year difference there. That's amazing. Go ahead. Mrs. Robinson, paging Mrs. Robinson.
Cuckoo-ca-choo, Carol Brady. No, I think like when you would, you know, go to your friend's house the first time and, you know, and you'd meet their family, you know, it was only natural to think, I wonder if his mom is going to be like, you know, Mrs. Brady. And you always want everybody's housekeeper to be like Alice, but Ann B. Davis died a long time ago.
She was amazing, and the butcher Sam was incredible too. But I was going through some reruns of the Brady Bunch I was on last night, 9 to 11, doing a non-sports show, so it was a little bit more time just to talk about Florence Henderson. The Brady Bunch, like, taught you every single lesson that you ever needed to know. It was unbelievable. They would tackle prejudice. Talking about a family coming together. We had the mom with the three daughters. We had and then everybody comes together and everybody gets along, and you've got lessons in jealousy. They really went at a lot of different things.
They, you know,
and Flo was the leader, man. Flo had she taught you what you needed to know. If you just listened to the Brady Bunch, you would have been a huge success in your life. Unfortunately, I didn't listen.
You know, I'm thinking of other TV moms out there. Shirley Jones, Mrs. Partridge, she was a great mom who also rocked out with the kids' band. You know, Carol Brady never played with the kids' band.
People are texting, and one of my favorite TV moms was from Happy Days, Mrs. C.
Oh, Mrs. C was terrific.
Mrs. C was solid.
And she always, you know, she and Mr. C would call Fonzie Arthur. Not a lot of people could get away with that.
Right. Well, but that was the thing. We're not going to put you on the pedestal, Fonzie. We are going to call you Arthur, and we're going to expect something from you, Mrs. C.
Yeah. Florence Henderson and Fidel Castro both going at roughly the same time.
Well, what about Louise Jefferson?
Louise Jefferson was her own woman, but I don't have her in the same rung as a Claire Huxtable or a Carol Brady.
What about Good Times?
Temporary Ripoff.
One of the great shows of all time. Mm-hmm. What was Thelma was the daughter? What was the
Florida?
Mom? Florida. Florida was legit.
Florida was legit.
You did not mess with Florida. I mean, James put the hammer down.
Yeah, Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Yeah, 312-981-7200, by the way. I see the phone lines lighting up. People want to give their mom stories here. That's cool.
Yeah.
We can do that.
You know who was a great mom that was also a kind of a smoking hot mom? Well, everybody loves Raymond. Patricia Heaton.
Ooh. I was never a big Everybody Loves Raymond.
You're missing out.
Yeah.
Brilliant show. Great show. Come on. He lives across the street from his parents, and the brother lives with the parents. That's a really funny show. Go back and watch Raymond.
Okay, that's what I'll do tonight. Hey,
it's not just me, Carm. Everybody loves Raymond.
Everybody loves Raymond. What's up, Mark? Welcome to WGN.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. I thought of another one while I was on hold, but the first one I called in about, Ultimate TV Mom, is Roseanne.
Roseanne was solid. Love Laurie Metcalf on that show.
A lot of attitude on
the other one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Estelle Costanza, George Costanza's mom.
Georgie!
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
The I know you're a big Seinfeld guy, Mark.
I know that you are, Harry, but I would not put Estelle anywhere close to the team photo that we just brought up. Some great moms. Don't ruin it with an Estelle Costanza.
But she was great. The episode where she's in the hospital and George goes to visit her.
Yeah, it was just nauseous. I you can't respect that attitude in the hospital.
I like Estelle Costanza. No, she's not. Like, she wouldn't be, as Mac would have said, on the Mount Rushmore of TV moms, but she was a fun TV mom.
How do you feel about Peggy Bundy?
Peggy Bundy was interesting character. You know, that they did one toilet joke too many for me.
What about Edith Bunker?
Edith Bunker was great. She could be on the Mount Rushmore of TV moms.
She's in there, right?
Yes.
I mean, Edith had some principle.
Groundbreaking show, All in the Family.
Oh, no question.
Groundbreaking show, Norman Lear, early 70s for an All in the Family, and they tackled serious subjects on that show as well.
How about Marge Simpson?
Okay, well, I mean, Marge Simpson and Lois Griffin. That, now you're talking two awesome moms.
This is great. I didn't realize we were going to go down the great mom realm with the Florence Henderson, a little tribute to Flo. But she was the first. Hosted the Johnny Carson show. Tremendous on Broadway. I know, Harry, you're a big theater guy.
Oh, my God. I just, you know, you just reminded me. I saw her act one night at the Pump Room.
Is that right?
Yeah. She came. My mom took us there. Because the Empire Room. Not the Pump Room. The Empire Room. And my mom took us there because she wanted us to see this room. And she had like four male dancers. And she opened with, this is sick. She opened with Put Your Hand in the Hand of, you know, of like the man who brings the water. And she went around shaking people's hands in the audience.
How about that?
But she was, you know, she sang and danced. But we'll miss you, Flo Han.
Thank you, Flo Han. 720 WGN. Yeah, yeah, Las Vegas. Harry, you a Vegas guy?
I have been known to be a Vegas guy. Let's see. Am I a Vegas guy? There's gambling and drinking, and people do it from the time they wake up till the time they go to bed, plus, like, the greatest stars in the world and normally reserved women let themselves go crazy. I guess I'm a little bit of a Vegas guy.
All right, all right, all right. I've been there less than five times. So I couldn't call myself that, but I would love to go and spend a weekend. The reason why we're bringing it up, and by the way, the Chicago Blackhawks will be on this radio station tonight, 9 o'clock pregame, taking on the LA Kings. But next year, you can go to Las Vegas and see your Blackhawks against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And in a couple of years, apparently, you're going to be able to go to Las Vegas and see your Chicago Bears, Hampton OB with Kaz, tomorrow at 3, against the L.A. Raiders, or the Las Vegas Raiders, not L.A.
LV Raiders.
The LV Raiders. And I just think, Harry, this is just flat out wrong.
What?
Las Vegas is a very warm climate.
Right.
Hockey teams belong in Winnipeg, in Quebec, in Edmonton, Chicago, Boston. How about Cleveland over Las Vegas? I don't think anyone's going to go. I think it'll be empty, and then the Blackhawks will come out there. Now, if you go to Vegas,
yes,
would you ever plan going to Vegas around seeing the Hawks? Like, can you imagine that in your future?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
like, you're in Vegas. You're there to gamble. You're there to see shows. You're going to go out there to see a hockey game?
Well, seeing a hockey game is like seeing a show. Here's the thing, okay? Like, most of my friends, they say, you know, want to go to Vegas this weekend, and that's how you decide to go. But you get other people that want to go, like, for the tournament, the college basketball tournament. By the way, I can't stress this enough. Never go to Vegas opening weekend of the college basketball
tournament.
Really? Never, ever, ever. The lines are out the door. It's terrible. You're on the phone with your bookie. You're online with your bookie the whole time. I mean, I've heard that bookies still happen in this country, you know, that there are gambling sites, you know, in the islands. But I would say go the second weekend of the tournament. But I have friends that go there for, you know, the NFL playoffs or specific events. But look, if you know you're going to do a weekend with your friends in Vegas and the Blackhawks are playing on a Friday or a Saturday night there, why wouldn't you make it the weekend that you're going to Vegas? It'd be a riot. But it's one of the, you know, it has been such a fast-growing community. More and more people have been moving there and living there. It deserves professional sports teams. No baseball. Because that'd be insane to play outdoors in that hot weather. But I think, you know, hockey's going to be there next season, and football's coming with the Raiders, and I think I can see basketball.
I mean, I don't know why it bothers me to the level that it bothers me, but it just bothers me. I think it starts with, like, Oakland, you deserve the Raiders. They belong there. There's a tremendous history. You tried going to L.A., which, by the way, the Rams are already drawing flies in season one because they all came out, saw the stadium. This is cool. And then, okay, now I'm in L.A. I've got a million things to do.
Well, the new stadium, when that's done, that might be...
Sure, they'll come out for the new stadium, and then they won't. It'll be empty.
And it also would help if they had a team.
The Rams were actually having a decent year.
Yeah.
They were.
For
a second.
The Raiders. The Raiders. Has Todd Gurley had a 100-yard game yet?
The L.A. Rams, Harry.
Yes. Has Todd Gurley had a 100-yard game
know.
Yet? I don't believe he has.
I don't know the answer. I can look that up. Los Angeles Rams, they're 4-6. Right. I mean, they started out, 3-1 at the start of the season, if memory serves?
Yeah. Las Vegas will do very, very well with hockey. And
you think it'll go do well?
Yes, and they're building. They're already building the football stadium. The Raiders will do great there. It's the NFL. Now, I know the ratings are down for Sunday night broadcasts and Thursday night games. Thursday night games are brutal. I don't know why they don't do a doubleheader on Monday night. I've been singing that song for a decade and a half. But the NFL is still king. And the Raiders will do great there. And the Las Vegas Golden Knights, even though they blew the name, it should just be the Knights, or there's so many other ways they could have gone. The Las Vegas Knights will do great there, and Vegas deserves that. Look, the Panthers and Lightning don't draw great, but who are the Hawks playing tonight? The Kings.
The Panthers, the Lightning, the Coyotes.
The Ducks draw.
The Hurricane.
The Kings draw. Every seat will be taken tonight.
For some reason, hockey does do well in California, which I never would have imagined.
Gretzky.
Okay, but that doesn't really explain how it just exploded the whole state. You telling me that Wayne Gretzky coming?
Yes.
Just absolutely made hockey?
Yes.
Oh, we got to go out and see Wayne, and then people fell in love with the game?
Yes. Yes. And then...
I mean, I'd buy that. I guess I'll have to buy that over any other reason. That's about as solid as you can go.
And then...
He's well past his prime then.
And then... Well, come on. He took them...
What, did they go to one cup?
I believe they went to one cup. He took them to a different level with fans because movie stars started coming out.
Right.
And so, you know, it was like the Lakers, you know, Jack Nicholson. You know, you'd have big stars coming to L.A. King games, and they'd all want to meet Gretzky. You know, Schwarzenegger's going to Kings games.
Right. Okay, fine. There's a reason.
But every seat
will be Gretzky in Las Vegas, brother.
Every seat will be packed tonight. And what helps that, of course, is that they've won a couple cups recently.
Las Vegas should stick to being Las Vegas, not to become trying to become this sports town. But that's fine. I'll get. I mean, whatever. Okay. I shouldn't be bothered by this, but I just felt like I wanted. I just wanted to get a little take a temperature of a Blackhawks fan. Like, are you really going to go out to Las Vegas and see like the Hawks? Let's go see the Hawks play the Golden Knights.
I wonder if their cheerleaders would be like dressed like showgirls. I mean, they should be. You know, like instead of the ice crew, you know, having jerseys on, the ice crew should have like feathers and stuff like that.
That seems now uncomfortable, considering, you know, political correctness and all, Harry.
It's Vegas, baby.
It is Vegas. This is true. 312-981-7200. We got one segment to go here. I got another. Well, here. So the Bears are playing a football game tomorrow.
Yes.
Jay Cutler's not going to be the quarterback. But I have another issue with the NFL as we end up the show with you solving my issues.
Yes.
It's not like necessarily an integrity issue, but it sort of falls under that umbrella. Just look, trying to create something that's not really there. Is that a good enough tease for you?
It's yeah, what is the NFL trying to create that's not really there?
720 WGN. Amy Guth, the Saturday Night Radio special coming up at 7. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tino. It's wrapping it up here on The Beat. Harry, I had a great time today talking to you, buddy.
Well, I love being on your show. Thanks to Adam Hoag for being so multi-talented that he was part of the Northwestern broadcast. And love being on WGN Radio. Been listening since I was a youth. And it's always a pleasure to come in here. It's always great to get the text. I love it when Northwestern plays at 11 and seven other people say no.
That's not true, Harry. Or maybe it is. I don't know. So USC beat Notre Dame 45-27.
Crushed.
For the record. And if you're just joining the sports world today, Ohio State over Michigan 30-27. Northwestern beat Illinois 42-21. Michigan State lost to Penn State. So it's the Nittany Lions and the Wisconsin Badgers who beat Minnesota in the Big Ten championship game.
And I believe whoever wins that game should go to the Final Four of college football along with the Ohio State University. And the Ohio State game went to double overtime. And Mark, when Michigan got the touchdown in overtime to put them within one, the quarterback held up his hand. He wanted to go for two.
Wilton Spate, I was saying go for two, too.
Before Spate put his arm in the air, you said they have to go for two. And they should have gone for two because Ohio State stopped him and Ohio State scored a touchdown. The game was over.
Could have turned out a bunch of different ways, but I just thought Ohio State was the better team coming in. And here you are, Michigan with a chance to win it on the road. Roll the dice, you're Jim Harbaugh, let's be aggressive, but they didn't do it, and then they ended up kicking a field goal, and the Buckeyes got a touchdown, and that was it.
The game lived up to its expectations.
That's for sure.
It was a great game. It was really, really cool to see, and I love how fantastic the Big Ten has been this year. And I'm telling you, two teams from the Big Ten should go to the college football playoffs, and Northwestern was 0-2. They lost to Illinois State at home 9-7, and now they are bowl-bound. So thumbs up to Jim Phillips, Coach Fitz, and the Wildcats football team.
Yes, congratulations to Northwestern. I'm kind of bummed I forgot about doing one topic here, Kerry. Just real quickly on the Bears.
Yes.
Matt Barkley quarterbacking. Jay Cutler probably plays another game just to prove to everyone he's healthy. Last week in the NFL, there were 9 missed extra points.
Yeah, 12, I thought.
Oh, it was a 12. I'm sorry. 12 mixed extra points. I lost count. 12.
It's a lot.
Okay.
Most ever.
Yes, it was an anomaly. I get it. But so the NFL, in their trying to make everything entertaining and try to, whatever, just keep you on the edge of your seat, they move back the extra point because they didn't want it to be a gimme.
Yeah.
So now you're having games being decided by an extra point.
Mark,
it's just silly. It's a total gimmick.
Look. You know what?
A touchdown is a touchdown. You get to kick an extra point. Period. Why do we have to change that rule?
It's better on the radio when the hosts disagree. And this is like the fifth topic today that you brought up with that I couldn't disagree with you more on. I'm not calling you a moron. I'm saying,
go ahead. You wouldn't be the first. It's all right. Go ahead. But how?
Extra points from the 3-yard line, they should have just been automatic. I mean, what's the point? They missed two all year. There was no point in kicking the extra point the way that it used to be.
The point is, you scored a touchdown, you get an easy extra point.
Then make a touchdown worth 7 points.
Okay, fine.
You made the extra point. You again, a 2-point conversion still comes from where it was, but the extra point now, you stick around and you watch. The extra point is not a gimme. If you're an NFL kicker,
why don't we make it a 50-yarder? I'll really stick around.
That's insanity.
Okay, well,
that's insanity. If you're an NFL kicker, that is an easy kick for you. Okay, it's much harder.
There were 12 missed ones.
Right, yesterday you just said it was an anomaly. An extra point used to be a 20-yard kick. Okay?
Yeah.
20 yards to an NFL kicker, they could do it blindfold and spin him around on the baseball bat 5 times, and they could make it.
Now you
have made it so it is not a layup.
Yeah, but okay, but when you earn a layup, if we're going to use that analogy, then you get to shoot a layup. You don't have to shoot a 15-foot jumper.
Look, the NFL took their most, you know, their most gimme play, and they made it interesting. Thumbs up to the NFL for pushing the extra point.
They didn't make it interesting. They made it stupid.
You hate kickers. You tried out to be the kicker for your high school, and you didn't make it. And so you've always hated, like Michael Jordan, you've always hated the guy that beat you out of the high school place-kicking job, and so you hate kickers. But kickers are football players.
That's not accurate. That's not it. You know what? But let me just move on here, Harry, because okay. I can't believe I forgot to do this topic, but I forgot to do it, and now I want to get it in because you're here.
Okay, first time you kissed a girl.
We can do that next time.
Okay.
This one, let's just rewind back in time, Harry. To close your eyes, just imagine it, okay?
Okay.
It's about 9:45 on Thursday.
Okay.
Thanksgiving Day.
Uh-huh.
Competitive flag touch football game.
Turkey Bowl. Yeah, so many of them played in America.
Mark Carman out there.
Serving hot chocolate with schnapps.
Tremendous athlete. He's got his cleats on.
Cleats for the Turkey Bowl?
Absolutely. He's got his cleats on. He's got his Northwestern long sleeve. He's got a nice parachute pant look. And the quarterback saying,
Who are you, MC Hammer?
Quarterback say, who can get open? Yes, in my mind. Quarterback say, who can get open? Enthusiastically in the huddle, Carman raises his hand and says, I can. He says, all right. What are you going to do? I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut like I'm going hard to the right corner of the end zone. But then I'm going to make one of the most sharp cuts that anyone's ever seen on a turkey bowl, and I'm going left corner, and I promise you I'll be open. Okay, dude, I'll get you the ball. So there I went, boom, straight out, hard cut like I'm going to the corner, and then bam, the other way, and I'm open, baby. I've got two steps on the defender, but the ball, it's overthrown. But I say to myself, Carm, you can go get this. Kicking the afterburners here. Didn't even know it was there, but it was there. And I'm going, bam, bam, bam. I'm there, but I got to dive. You can get it. You can get it. Full out, extension. Ball in the arms. Probably the best catch I've ever made. Land right on the left shoulder. Crunch. And now I know instantly I'm in trouble and I have left my religion, which is the no diving religion. And I get up and everyone's coming to jump and high five me and give me the chest bump, the whole deal, competitive game. And I'm like, easy, 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 easy. Don't touch me. Thank you. Appreciate it. I go sideline. The body's basically in a full shake. Like, what's going on? But then, I calm down. I think I'm okay. I go back on the field. I'm rushing. 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 5-1000. Rush the passer. Reach out to tackle him. Felt like I had somebody was like a gunshot to the back of my shoulder, and it was over. Left the game midway, right to my car, right to the phone, calling Dr. Rob, calling Dr. Burnfield. Help me. What do I do? Load up the Advil, load up the ice, and Thanksgiving ruined. Can't put a shirt on without massive pain. It's all over.
Well, first of all, you made the play.
I did make the play.
If you had dropped it, then it would have been, Loserville. But you made the play. Second of all, you're not 21 anymore.
I'm not.
You can't be 26 forever.
Is this it? Should I retire?
No, you shouldn't retire. Yeah, but you shouldn't wear cleats either. It's a damn turkey bowl. You're playing for fun.
I just want to thank you for allowing me to share. I feel better. I wish we had more time to do this, but I forgot about this moment in time, but I wanted to get it out there. Thank you, Harry.
You just made me realize how much better the Bears' offense would be if the other team had to count to five Mississippi.
This is true. 720 WGN.